Do it live.
We are live.
Okay, sup, we'll
everybody.
Do it live. Fuck.
What? Sup, everybody. Live? This is Carrick with ACG, and I'm here with Abzi. And yes, we are live.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm here with Silver, Reg, Johnny, and Steve. Everborn Saga is what he's known as on Twitter. But be aware, I'm going to fuck that up and go between those names multiple times. That's just the way I do things. Welcome to you. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you being patient with me, getting you on here. He is, I'm going to drop the links in the Discord Discord and in the YouTube chat here in a bit. But made games, comics, basically done everything. Also does some YouTube stuff. Is pretty much a jack of all trades. I'm not going to say master of none because
I was
going to
say it. Don't worry, I'll say it. Master of
okay.
None.
Oh, you're going to show him up? Go for it.
Oh no! Just this is just a visual prop. Don't worry.
A visual prop.
We won't open the pages.
Yeah. So I got to meet you. Were we doing Duchess or were you doing Iron Lords?
Iron Lords.
Iron Lords. Yeah, I should just have assumed everybody I meet, you know, and like is on Iron Lords. I mean, I like you guys who always come every week. I'm just saying. But yeah, hey, and we got to talking. And then
King,
yeah. And then King and I went nuts on these ideas. Whoops, my dog immediately reacts to that. King and I went nuts on all these ideas. We were really trying to actually give Steve some ideas for a future comic. And we were having such a good time. And I was like, you know what? We've had comic artists, writers on here before. I should start doing this kind of stuff. Get people who, you know, create a slightly different kind of thing than ourselves. So we're going to talk about his stuff. We're going to pimp it. I'm going to put his links in the channel right now. But the first thing I want to do is say welcome to everybody in the chat. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for showing up to our podcast. I know it's on Fridays. A lot of people say they're at work. There were people asking if the reviews are all going to go on Spotify and on iTunes. And I will just say that I'm going to treat that exactly with the high professionalism and completely random percentage of chance as I do this podcast. So, some will show up on iTunes and Spotify, and I'm sure I'll forget, and some will not. But I will try to get the reviews up there. I know a lot of people say spoiler-free is nice, so they can go on Spotify or they can go on iTunes and listen to those reviews. I will start doing that more. It's just I get behind, I start doing other stuff, and I forget. That's just the way it is. So with all of that out of the way, I think I will ask what everybody's been playing, because we have had a couple games coming out, and hopefully not everybody's in Elden Ring or Lost Ark. So let's start with our guest first. What have you been playing, Steve?
Elden Ring and Lost Ark. No.
I did. No, but I picked him, and I knew he's been playing Elden Ring. He said it prior to the podcast. Go ahead.
No, I've actually never played Lost Ark, but I have been playing a lot of Elden Ring. And before the, you know, when we were in the green room, I was saying I've just gotten into Tunic. So my routine is, because, you know, being an adult and having children and a business and family, yep, and things like that, you don't get a lot of time to game. So I game instead of sleeping. So at night,
nice,
I'm farming runes in Elden Ring. And during the day, between work meetings, I am on the PC at my desk playing Tunic. So Tunic is great, and please, no one, and stop calling it a Death Door ripoff. It is not. It's been in development since for a much longer time. And Death Door was probably my favorite game last year. So no shade to Death Door, but Tunic is it's super interesting. And yes, it is sort of Zelda adjacent. Do you guys remember
Zelda adjacent? Sorry.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to start saying. Okay, go ahead. Right.
Do you guys remember the remake of Link's Awakening on the Switch?
Yeah, it was sick. It was really good.
That is a closer comparison, I would say.
Yeah.
Than calling
and Link to the Past.
Well, hold on a minute. Now, I've been badgering Nintendo for years to do a Link to the Past remake in the vein of Link's Awakening, but they won't. I mean, they will, and then they'll charge like $100 for it, and I'll pay it because, you know, I am a sucker. But yeah, Tunic is great. I'm still wrapping my head around the combat. I hate the stamina bar, but other than that, really something special put together there. So if you haven't tried it out, I think it's on Game Pass. I bought it because I've been I'm a big fan of the single developer that made it, and Elden Ring, which I hated in the beginning, and now it's all day I dream about Elden Ring. What is that, like Adida?
What happened?
All day I dream.
You didn't like it the first week. What yeah. snapped?
So I had to understand what the game was asking of me, because one, they don't tell you anything,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And you know, normally I don't look at content on a game while I'm playing it. I do it after. Mm. So I usually, when I play any game, I want to play it straight through. I want to get to the ending, normal difficulties. I'm not one of those, I got to play on legendary mode, right?
Right.
I play, but I don't go easy either. So whatever the standard difficulty is, that's what I'll play on to the end. And then I'll look at reviews. I do that with movies too. I actually don't want to hear about a review, because I don't want it to change
yeah,
how I
exactly.
feel about
yeah.
the game yeah. until after I've experienced it.
Absolutely.
So but with Elden Ring, I realized they don't tell you anything. And I wonder if this was by design, because they've created an entire community of people that just make videos on how to do things in Elden Ring.
Yep.
Things that they just don't tell you in the game. I did not use an incantation until about 40 hours into this game, because I just didn't know how. Like you have to equip the incantation, you have to go and memorize it, and then you have to have like a seal or a finger seal.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the weird obsession with fingers is.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
But you have to do all that before you can now use magic. So it was weird. But all that being said, once I understood that you can go and do whatever you want, but you are criminally underpowered in the beginning. And so you have to go and get strong enough to where you can actually walk around with some confidence. Because I thought this was like a stealth game at first.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But as you level up and as you, you know, make your way through the world, you now become strong enough to go back in the places that you were scared. And so now I transitioned from skulking about to being a hunter. And I just have a revenge list, or a, can I curse here?
Yeah.
So I have a shit list.
Okay.
Right. Gotcha. And yeah. I say, okay, hey, Tree Sentinel, remember me? And now I'm going to go and embarrass you. Cause a super villain was created. I start out the game. I'm like, okay, this is like Breath of the Wild. I'm just going to walk around. I'm going to have fun. And I said, like, who's this Tree Sentinel dude? Let me try to take him on. One hit, dead. And don't get me started on getting stuck in animations. So you have to let a full animation play out before you can, you know, do anything else.
Yeah.
So I leveled up. I came back to him when I was like level 80. And I was like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Remember that time when you
good.
Cheesed me on the ground?
And just fucking bitch slapped him.
You. Yeah. Hold on to this poison.
You know, dude, prison. That's like when you meet a bully, like,
that's exactly,
10 years after.
Dude, I was going to say, they've made 80s movies called My Bodyguard that, no lie, is about this, where a guy gets beat up all the time and he hires a bodyguard, who, by the way, is the guy from Firefly, Baldwin. And it's just like, you see this, that's what we grew up, you know, like the bully getting his ass kicked finally. And that dude's just riding his horse. He's like, come on up to me. You're like, all right, and I'll take you out. Yeah, it's a fantastic game, and I do agree. I think the community creation is what they planned.
I like to call it Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Because I go and I do my homework, and then I come back.
It's accurate.
Now I'm dating the jock's high school sweetheart. And
Ogre became a nerd in those movies, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a big fan of those movies. All right, Johnny, what do you got going on? What games you been playing?
I'm getting to the close of the Horizon Forbidden West campaign, and today I've played a bit of Tiny Tina, which has been quite refreshing in terms of a take on those games as someone who likes them. And that's mostly what I've been about.
Damn, that's a short list. All right, Reg, go with your short list.
Exactly what the two games you said, Lost Ark and Elden Ring.
Nice, dude.
Well, hell okay, yeah. Let's reverse this just for a second. So Asante says, I see Everborn Saga taking the Elden Ring podcast wherever he goes. I think everybody does, but I want to ask this of Reg. I didn't expect you to jump in, but you have, and you've... Yep. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. Cheats or no cheats?
No cheats.
What do you think of the... Do you like this better than any other Dark Souls-style game, right?
Yes, but I think that's mainly because I restarted the third time now, I restarted the third time and went with the magic starter, which is so much easier
easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. But you're liking it.
That's also why I was chuckling before, because the tree sentinel I killed at level 26 as magic user.
Oh, look at you! I'm doing a berserk guts build, so I have.
Heavy did you find the great sword? Yeah. It even says, did you read the item description? It says the iron slab.
Oh, nice!
It has the same quote from Berserk. Yeah.
Did you guys? Go ahead.
No, I have that sword right now, up to level 20. I've never upgraded my magic once, and I've basically only upgraded dex and endurance and strength. And I started, as of late, upgrading faith and intelligence. Only because I thought I was going to use the Sword of Night and Flame, and then they nerfed it. So now I have like 28 intelligence and 26 faith, but I get to use the Golden Vow, so it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Reg, you did Magic User. What were your first two?
I don't know the class names, like some knights, dude.
Okay.
And the other one that's like a priest.
Okay, gotcha. I did the
confessor, I think.
I did the samurai.
Exactly.
And the bow's pretty OP at the starting. And so I also defeated the tree sentinel pretty quick. But I think I got the horse and was just like, I'll just whittle this dude away because I'm good on the horse.
Yeah, I did the same.
There's very few games I can say I feel expert level at, but like having a friend come over and play, watch Elden Ring, he's like, dude, have you ridden horses? Do you have like extra points in this? What are you doing? I'm just jumping off that dude's head. And I'm like, da-da-da-da-da. It was so fun. The horse just
gives
adds
you a good power fantasy.
Oh, it adds so much to it. So, Reg, did you find when you were playing, you got the magic user? Are you exploring? Are you taking on people right away? How are you going about it?
First off, I was looking up where to get good weapons.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I went straight ahead and
got your rock sling.
A good wand and a good, exactly, rock sling. Yeah.
And that one place in Caelid. Yeah.
And then I went to the first bosses. I think Godric I beat at level 19.
And you just rock sling them to death, bro. It's crazy, dude. Mages are perfect. Are nuts, yeah.
You got them at 19th level?
Yeah.
I think I was 25 or 26 when I
Bro, I was like
him.
45.
first try, too.
Sorry.
That was really easy.
That was a completely real laugh. That was surprising.
I did not start like fighting any bosses until I was like level 50.
Well, that's good because that middle guy, I don't know, Reg, if you had an issue with him with magic, it sounds like you defeated him, but the guy on the bridge.
The second try, yeah.
The first guy's the hard one. You know, Margaret or whatever the fuck his name is. Like that guy, Merget, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm taking Hagrid. Is that what you said?
Margaret.
Margaret, whatever. I show up and I'm like, dude, I got this. And I was like, I don't even know what happened. That was what happened. And I kept going back and kept dying. Finally, sort of cheesed him in a way. Like, almost like the ogre in Sekiro who can fuck off. And
one thing where I just laughed yesterday. Was I killed the dragon and then died to a single dog afterwards.
Oh, dude.
Oh, of course.
That's Elden Ring. That's Dark Souls. Experience. That's a Dark Souls experience. Dude, you can push it, but I was telling somebody, they were like, well, do you get powered up? And I'm like, oh, for sure. But in a weird way, every character in that game is a glass cannon in some way. And that means if you get stunned wrong, if you don't have the right weapon out and you get a couple combos on you, shit just starts adding up quick. And you
also
can
my layout is I got six mana flasks and two health flasks. And
see, so you did that, yeah.
I have 10 health flasks and two mana. And I struggled with myself for adding a second mana, but it's only so that I can do that golden vow.
I think I invested like 1 point into extra health, and that's it.
You're going with the no. Honestly,
that's gonna suck later.
No matter how much health you have, once you get to like the later zones, shit's just gonna two shot you anyways.
I was watching Penty play. That guy's, I've never seen, he hadn't raised it. It was like 12 or 14. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But he was way far. I mean, it's obvious magic was working for him. Like, he was way far.
A grave mistake.
It is absolutely like glass cannon. It is less, it's paper mache cannon.
Yeah.
Like that motherfucker, he got like a dude rubbed him and he died. And I was all, are you kidding me? Because, and he doesn't get, so I don't get frustrated with deaths, but if that kind of stuff happens, after a while, I'm like, okay, this is just bothering me. And his play style was so different than mine. I think that's one thing we're learning just by going through each one is that everybody's got a pretty different play style. What about you, Abzi? What are you playing?
I've been playing, more Elden Ring. I got to like 200 hours last night, 200 something. I started Tiny Tina's Wonderland with a friend or girlfriend, I guess. What's the third game I'm playing? Risk of Rain. Some Risk of Rain here and there.
Gotcha. What about you, Silver?
Still a bit of Elden Ring. Just messing around different builds after completing it. Been trying after my Templar build. I switched to like a Black Knife Assassin build, like dual wielding daggers. That's been pretty fun. Also have another playthrough with a samurai build. That's also been kind of fun. And I've actually booted up Final Fantasy VII. Playing that again, I just felt like going back into
remake? The
old Final Fantasy VII.
Good choice.
Nice.
Oh, damn.
Comparatively.
Ares sort of gave me a hankering to play some Final Fantasy again. And I haven't really... I've returned to Final Fantasy VII like a couple of times over the years, but never to the extent I have now, where I'm like way past Midgar now. Getting into it a bit, though, I was surprised that I found the soundtrack quite obnoxious actually for the original. Like I had to turn it down.
Is it like the 8-bit sound or the quality?
No, they're not. It's just the orchestral score.
Got
a little obnoxious,
very like repetition loud. Of the combat music and stuff like
not,
that.
Not the combat music so much. It was mostly for the environments where like the mixing was off and it got really loud and obnoxious to me. And I just had to turn it down. Having fun with that. Playing Norco, which Kit released yesterday, which we'll talk about because it's our indie game of the week. That's basically what I've been playing.
So I did a video on this. I'll just get this out of the way and talk about it, and then we'll move on. But no more Elden Ring. Pretty much done with that. Pretty much done with Tiny Tina's. I like that game, but that was really depressing to see that game and how they didn't take advantage of D&D. There are so many things in that game that, as a D&D fan, I was stunned that they didn't. I mean, even the death save isn't a dice. It's just the typical death save. The guns all look pretty shit. They're like, here's a crossbow bolt taped onto a normal gun. And you're just like, you guys couldn't do. And then when I first started that, I don't like to look at previews because I want to play it. I want to play it my way. So I wasn't aware that you don't actually have a up close physical sword swinging character, that's all they do. Well, I mean, you may, but the sword isn't in front of you. It's the guns at all times. And so when you like get spellcaster, and I got two spells, and I'm like, boom, boom, this is pretty cool. But then I'm like, wait a minute, two spells? Then I'm all, okay, well, this thing adds spell weaving, all this stuff, but it never takes advantage of, and that's why at the first 5 hours, I was like, okay. And then the first is sort of like Valhalla. I got about 10 hours in and I was like, uh-oh.
Well, here's the thing. I started and they gave you this starter crossbow, right? And I was like, oh, cool. Like they're going to maybe, you know, lean into, they always have cool weapon designs. And I was like, okay, they're going to really lean into the fantasy and do like really cool fantasy stuff. But then I got like a Hyperion weapon and a Dahlia weapon. And I'm like, dude, this is just a,
it was so weird. It was so weird for me. The same thing happened. And so I sold myself on this by saying it is a fake world in their world. So you're role playing something, right? So there is a chance that those guns from the world would get in there because that's like sort of Tina's imagination. But another thing that bothered me is they explained, oh, Tina's going to change the world as you go through it. Yeah, a couple times at the starting. It's very front loaded. And then it just dies out and you're all.
Because I found that really cool, like going through a map and she was like, oh, you see a bridge now. Or you go into a city and it's like a perfectly fine city. And she's like, oh, it's under siege
okay,
now.
Okay, that's the one everybody's talking about. That's pretty much your major one. And then there's little bits here and there elsewhere. Okay. But it just doesn't buy in. And for that much money, I mean, that's a full price game. So I was expecting like not a mod. I don't know how to describe it. Like, especially the guns. Yeah. I think the guns are the biggest hit to me. I was just like, oh no, they're like normal guns?
With the normal manufacturers, yeah.
Yeah, they do have other ones too, though, don't they? Some new ones. I don't remember Ash being a...
Ash, yeah.
Ash
or,
is
or
one.
Or Craven or something. Yeah. Yeah.
But so I'm pretty much done with that. I like the idea of it. And as I said in my review, hey, if you're a Borderlands fan, you're probably going to be really happy with it.
It's fun with friends.
Let's not go there. And, three, but I will say a lot of people who reviewed this game, I have no clue what's going on, but they're flatly wrong about some stuff. So I'm just going to let that sort of play itself out. But I will say when it comes to loot, when it comes to a couple things, when it comes to scaling, there's multiple people who are saying something that is not actually correct. So I'm just going to let that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if people just read and don't play the game. They play like 10 minutes and they're like, here's my review. But there's a lot of things that popped up in reviews. And I only got to them last night where, cause somebody told me they were like, so-and-so says this. And I'm like, that's not what happens. That's not what happens at all. It actually states what happens. So there's some oddities there, which is unfortunate. Because I think some people are going to be playing it and expect some things to happen that don't happen in that way. But then Weird West. So dude, you were talking, I think it was Johnny or Abzi who said like it was nice to have a palate cleanser after Elden Ring. Weird West is everything that you got in Dishonored, but good. Admittedly, I'm not a lover of Dishonored, so I'm just gonna brutally say it. Especially one. Two had some sound issues, but I thought it was better. Traveler, that one was great. Stranger, the DLC one. Was awesome for Dishonored. But dude, this game is nuts. It's nuts. You can do so many weird things in this game that you don't get analysis paralysis. That doesn't pop up. But like, I found myself burying bodies because I felt bad for killing the people.
Dude, when you locked them in the fucking room, that
I
was
locked
hilarious.
People in the room because I had so the funny. Key and they didn't. And then I got stuck in the room or in the other room because I went out the window and I thought I'd have the key still, but you leave the key in the lock and I'm like, oh shit, because it's an old style lock. There was all this weird shit going on. I was doing all this stuff and something blew me away right when I got done. I went in and I killed some friendly people because that's my game. You're smoke wagons. Like, you know, Val Kilmer said, do you guys want to be, you know, are you my Huckleberry or whatever? And I'm like, yes, I am. I'm killing every single person I can. The fucking townspeople bury them in a local graveyard. Grab loot you've missed.
From
the people you've killed in their graves.
No fucking way, dude.
It's
actually an immersive sim. It is
immersive as hell. Yeah.
That is nuts.
It's so weird. You'll get bandit contracts, and if you kill the bandit first, there's a chance people will just run and leave. And so like you'll have to figure out, do I want to work my way through all these guys? Do I want to go up top and try to snipe this dude to see if everybody leaves? Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. The game changes for every single time you play. So if I start a new game quests, locations, battle locations, all completely are, they're not procedurally generalized, but they're like, they grab stuff and put them together in sort of a random loot table, but in this way, a random quest table. And I have got some insanely cool quests. So if that is the output all the way through, which I would assume it is because they're stating that's how the game works, dude, the amount of, it's nuts. It seems
very highly replayable from how you described it.
It's nuts. Like everything I thought I could do, I could either. So a lot of games will say, like, they sort of give you the question, why is this here? And you go and figure it out. But this game is like, why not? It's almost like a friend pushing you to bad decisions. They're like, why not, man? And you're all, can I burn this guy down? Yeah. Why not? Let's try it. And then you light people on fire. And then your friend gets on fire. And you're like, oh, shit. Oh, good.
No, I was saying I've always been a long proponent is get rid of the why people in your life and bring in all the why not people.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones who push you. And that's exactly what this game does. And it just offers you the ability to do it. And there's, dude.
Yeah, because most games, like they say, approach how you want, like approach combat how you
want. But they're liars.
It's usually just, usually just like either go stealth or guns blazing.
So
right?
That's the moral choices in this game. You hire posses, and if you make bad decisions, which I accidentally did, I dug up a body. There was a graveyard, and I'm like, I'm going to dig. And it was -5 reputation. I'm like, because he's standing here. So then I hired another posse, and I tried to see how low I could get it. I was like, come on, guys, let's dig up bodies. Finally, they're like, double finger, fuck you, we're leaving. They came back as a bounty against me later in the game.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, run around, and they're like, we found you. And I'm all, wait, that's the guy I hired. What's going on?
They had like a vendetta against
you. Yes, but you can save people. They will become, they will become lifelong friends. And it shows two dudes, like Predator, you know, the Predator, Carl Weathers, shit. Arnold. And those guys, I was getting my ass kicked in a battle, and it's like, best friend for life shows up. And he's like, howdy, partners. I heard you guys were in trouble. And he comes around the other side, and he's taking them out. And I'm just like, this
But they can die too, right? Like, if the enemy kills them, they die permanently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can't save scum, right? From my understanding.
No, you can hit, you could, yeah, you can do auto. It allows you to save at any time.
Like a big choice?
Yeah, because you could, there's a set, you have as many saves as you want.
Okay. So
you could. Cool. But anyway, it's so far, because dude, there could be bugs, that it could fall apart, it could be boring. But so far, the overworld you explore, you find new stuff all the time, the people you meet, you play as different characters, and everybody's story comes together like a Viking saga. So it's like sick. This hero over here does stuff, and then the shit you did impacts the second guy. Skills you buy or some perks you buy unlock for everybody. Even when you play a nut, so like if you have +10 health and you buy that perk, then the next journey you go on after you've completed the first one, that person will have +10, and you can do all this. It's
do you have to go in order or
yeah?
Or,
it's a story. It's a saga. So it's like here's one person's journey. I was talking to the PR people, and they're like, you can show up to the third journey. And I'm like, dude, I saw the second and third. There's no way I'm spoiling that for anybody.
Nice.
I was like, there's no fucking way I'm spoiling that. So I was just like, you can just see the first journey. But anyway, that game's coming out soon. Not giving a review. Just there's some positive impressions for it.
Let me ask you this.
Weird West. No?
What?
Weird West is not already out?
No, Weird West comes out on the 31st.
There's Hard West. Hard West. There's like Evil West. There's like Crazy West.
Yeah. What were you saying, Johnny?
I was going to ask you, like, the combat itself, like shooting and stuff like that, does that feel smooth?
Nah.
Because it looked very... I don't know what to compare it to from, like, your video and stuff.
Yeah, it's... You have a slowdown timer, which is probably what most people use most of the time, because it uses the thing where you control the distance of your shot by moving your mouse. There'll be a guy, it doesn't lock on, so there'll be a guy, some guns will just stop aiming because of short range, which I actually did like. So, like, I thought I could shoot somebody, I'm like, bang, 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 and nothing happened, and then I realized the cursor isn't red, it's white, which just indicates it's just the chance of hitting him super low. Like it. I like the jumping. I like the rolling, all that, the slowdown. And there's some stuff that I don't want to spoil. There's some abilities that absolutely adjust that. But I will say, I don't think it's the smoothest combat. And the animations, I talked about this in the review, when you pick up something in the game, I don't even know how to describe how hilarious it looks. But it's like resting on invisible boobs in front of you. It's the weirdest thing, and the character doesn't touch it. It just sort of like, it's almost like a placeholder, which it might be. I mean, maybe there's a patch coming. That, and then you throw it by just going, and it poof, and it shoots off. So there's, you know, there's some stuff there. But you knock people out, you got a ton of stealth, and the enemies' variety for their patrols is the best part. Like, I was opening doors to get them to go into the room, then running up, locking the door, and be like, ha-ha, bitch! And then another guy who never went there normally saw he was missing and starts walking over to me, and I'm like, he's never walked over here. He's not going to come. And he walks right into me. I'm like, oh, shit. And they're very long. Like, the patrols aren't dude going up and down. It still does have the thing where the guy's cool. Like, must have been the wind. You still do get that.
Yeah.
You've killed like 50 people. They see something. They're like,
they're walking over their dead comrade. And it's like, yeah. I must have been
the wind. Oh, and then I led people to get killed by animals, though. Went up to the corner, saw some wolves, and I was like, And I just get close. The guy sees me, runs to me. And as he's running towards me to attack me, the wolves are like, fuck you. And they just took him out. And then all of the guards hear him screaming and they're against each other. They're battling. So I just went in the other way and then got killed because I didn't pay attention to somebody's patrol. But yeah, it's definitely been enjoyable.
It's been years I've been obsessed, or not obsessed. I've just been anticipating this game for so long, even longer, way more than Elden Ring. I didn't really get excited for Elden Ring until like a couple of weeks prior.
Yeah, a couple
of
weeks
prior. But damn, because like it's like immersive sim is like my favorite genre on PC. Usually they're first person games. You know, you got your Prey and Dishonored I didn't really like as much, but Deus Ex and stuff like that. And just this new isometric take was, I didn't know how it was going to pan out, right? But watching your video, your preview really got me way more excited.
Well, you can tell when I'm excited. Like, I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, like, when I'm. You're not going to hide it. Yeah, when I'm like, people are like, all right, I get it. Again, it could go to shit, though, because bugs and, like I said, in-game stuff, difficulty. You got to watch that kind of stuff. But so far, it's been enjoyable. I do also want to bring up GT7. So did you guys see this? Did you guys see the apology from, is it Polyphony?
Devs apologized.
Polyphony? Yeah, so that people understand, I didn't get any heat for the last podcast where I sort of went in hard to a lot of the fans who were sort of making up excuses for Polyphony, which was nice. But basically, proving me right, I just want to say, Polyphony came today, apologized. I think they're doing 1 million credits for every player, and they're looking at adjusting, you know, the prices and sort of realizing that this is not working for them, because even their subreddit, which are usually a diehard group of folks, right? Usually those are the guys that you send out to the front lines because they'll fight for you. And even they are really unhappy. So it was cool to see Sony do that or Polyphony do that. I don't know how they thought they were going to get away with it in the first place, though.
I would say that they probably thought they were going to get away with it because there's still like a subset of fans that it doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah, true.
I've seen people just go in and say, hey, you need to stop being lazy and play the game to get, you know, do 600 races to buy one car, that kind of thing. So like, and the danger in that for me, and I, you know, I get being a fan, right? I'm a fan of a lot of things, but I think the danger in just wholeheartedly saying, you know, whatever my favorite thing, you know, brand or creator does, I'm just going to be okay with it, is that you are sending the message to the money makers that, you know, they can charge more and they can do all these things because there won't be any pushback. And I think we've seen, we have overwhelming evidence that every time we all get together and say something is bad, change actually happens, right?
Yeah,
we saw it with the PSP store. We saw it with Xbox trying to raise the price on Xbox Live. We saw it with the Horizon Forbidden West upgrade path.
Yeah.
So every time we actually speak with one voice instead of arguing with each other, things work out in our favor. But if we are just going to sort of be divided and kind of just say, well, you know, my favorite company is doing this, so this is the hill I got to die on, you know, everybody ends up losing.
There's also the issue, like when you see people being vocal about like microtransactions and DLCs and bad gaming practices and all that stuff in the industry, you're only seeing a very, very small subset of gamers who are voicing their opinions on Reddit and like those online. Yeah. There are so many, you know, casual gamers or just people who don't really interact that much who just buy all these things and they have no problem with it. They buy the same shit. They buy like shark cards and you know, the FIFA stuff. And
what a perfect name. Shark card. I mean, like that's whales, some, right? Yeah, exactly. But I mean, shark, that's what they do. Like money lenders are called sharks. Like there's something so,
you know, yeah, yeah. So it is working. That's why they keep doing it. That you think like by the time, you know, all these people are just complaining and they're not purchasing all this stuff, you'd think they would stop doing shit like that, but they're not because there's just people buying into that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that, but there's also, because we've seen this play out so many times by now. I mean, I think there's also a calculated risk that, yeah, this will cause a shitstorm, but it'll get our foot in the door. We'll like issue an apology or whatever. We'll do some changes to sort of make things good a little bit, and then the shitstorm will eventually blow over, and then we can start sort of slowly reintroducing these things again and sort of
remember
the scales again. The Overton window is what that's called.
Yeah, like remember when Star Wars Battlefront 2 got shit on or won, I forgot which one, because of the loot box system,
two.
Right?
Two.
Yeah. Okay. All the games stopped doing loot boxes, but now you're kind of seeing them, you know, creep back up and stuff because it kind of blew over. Yeah.
You know what? Johnny, do you have anything to add to this? Sorry, I don't want to talk over the top.
No, I'm on board with what the guys are saying.
I think we saw it with... go ahead, Reg.
I was just looking at the website. It is 1 million credits, but the small print says that 1 million credits is only for anyone who has already got a copy of the game by the time the news post was posted.
Okay. So it's people who already own the game. So if I buy it right now, I'm not getting a million.
And by their text, it reads more like an apology for the server outage more than the game balance.
Dude, I'm telling you, those guys they are experts at pulling failure out of unbelievable success. You could have just said, sorry, here's a million. We're figuring it out. And instead,
only if you own a copy by the time this news post was posted, and you have to claim it within 1 month or it's also gone.
Whatever. Anyway, I'm happy for it. I got a super chat here. I'm going to read. This is from Vintage Original, all legit. Do you get this whole $1.99 or is a percent gone? I think for super chats, they take 50%, but I appreciate that 99 cents. I can buy a Jolly Rancher, which is my favorite candy. Nice.
Can you still buy a Jolly Rancher with inflation?
Dude, isn't that crazy? I was just telling a friend, they used to be 3 cents a piece. And like, I don't even know if you can get them in grab hand. Like you used to be
back
able to
in
just
my
grab
day.
Back in my day. Well, yeah. That's the thing is I used to tease my grandpa and be like, candy bar used to be 25 cents. I'm like, well, bitch, now it's $1.99.
You got change back.
Yeah. I mean, my grandpa used to shortchange me all the time because he had a thing for Baby Ruth. And he'd be like, go get me a Baby Ruth at the store. And I'd be like, all right, it's $2. And he's like, no, it's not. It's 25 cents. And I'd be like, dude, get out. Get outside. That shit's over. It's way past that. And he would make me pay for half of his candy bar. Anyway, I still love him. I love you, Grandpa, wherever you are. So regardless, I agree with everybody. There's gamers, you know, who don't. I mean, they're not watching particular podcasts that talk about this stuff because they don't care. And then there are the ones that do care. But I do agree that the more united people are, even if you love something, you know, there's almost that thing where it's like they don't understand that you can criticize what you love if something is truly bad. And
that's something a lot of people need to understand for sure.
Yeah, it's my way, the highway now. It's politics, but in video game form. Mm-hmm. It's just like you're 100% against, you know, Sith. It's like if you're not with us, you're against us. And it's like, no, bitch, I'm sort of with you on one thing and I'm against you on everything else. But people can't do it. They can't. There's no. And it's also because we snip one liners from everybody's podcast and say, Carrick said this. It's like, no, I didn't, bitch. What were you saying, Reg?
No, I was saying it's pretty much the other way around, because if you don't critique something, you just don't care about it.
Yeah,
pretty much.
True. Right.
Yeah, the real enemy of all these things is apathy, right? But
yeah,
but I think a lot of the reason we see what we're seeing in the discourse and what these companies are observing is it's the same thing you see in politics. Like, this thing might benefit me or it might be bad for me, but I can't say that because then that would mean I'm acknowledging that the people I don't like were right.
Yeah.
Right. So I have to just, I got to go die on this hill because I can't give them an inch. So things that make perfect common sense, I'm just going to pretend in public that I'm against.
That's why everybody should be like me and hate everybody. So you don't give a fuck.
Yes.
If you all agree, just be like, I don't care.
That's the best way to go about life.
It is sadly in games. Yeah. It currently in games. It is, because a person may sound like a dick, but that's the person you actually want talking about something, because they are going to say, yeah, this is great, but this is, I don't care if you like this. This one thing sort of sucks. Or it does suck to me. That is true, too. Sometimes we do hate something, but it's not necessarily bad. You just, and that's a different part of the discussion. Now it seems like the critique is gone completely, like to some weird location. But regardless, Million, some people are going to get it. I guess some people aren't. We'll see what they do. I think, you know, my review is still in progress because, I wasn't even able to play. One of the guys on Twitter was like, I can't believe this. You said you were going to do a review. And this was when the servers were down all the time. And I was like, bro, you got to be able to play it to do the review. Like, I wasn't even able to get online at that time. So I will return to it and do it. Let's see. What else do we got here? We got any amazing big things to talk about?
We got GTA having a subscription now.
Yeah. Do you have the link for that?
I do. Yeah. It's on the Discord. I'll put it in the chat.
I put it in our notes here.
Excellent, man. Zoom. Thank you. So go ahead. Abzi, do you want to read it?
Sure. So here's the breakdown of the benefits that GTA Plus members will receive. I think it's $6 a month or something like that.
Okay.
You get $500 GTA money delivered automatically to your Maze bank account.
$500,000, right?
$500,000. Yeah. Sorry. The $500 a month.
I wouldn't put that past Rockstar, man.
Oh, either would I. Either way, sharks.
Wait, sorry. It says here's the breakdown of the benefits GTA Plus members will receive in the first month of membership. It only states the first month, so I don't know what that means. The Principe, the Vest 8, along with a complimentary house special works upgrade for it. I don't know what the fuck this is. The auto shop located in La Mesa introduces an assortment of gameplay updates from Los Santos tuners. Current auto shop owners can relocate to La Mesa at no additional cost. Waived LS Car Meet membership fees. Current LS Car Meet members with GTA Plus will be reimbursed 50,000 GTA money during this event period. Yacht owners can upgrade to the Aquarius Super Yacht at no additional cost. The Gousset Frog Tee and Broker Prolapse basketball tops and shorts automatically added to your wardrobe.
Why is there prolapse
in the title?
No, dude, someone lost his asshole. Like, guys, the conveyor livery for the Mammoth Avenger HVY APC and TM02 Kanjali. I don't know what the fuck I'm reading. A selection of free paints and emblems for the auto shop. 3x GTA dollars and RP on house special works race series, and 2x car meet rep on the street race series. Though, there you go, that's what you get if you subscribe in the first month. So don't know.
Wait,
what the
but
fuck...
hold on, Abzi, but hold. It's not even clear to me because a lot of those things are like,
I think
a
most
one-off.
Are cars.
Like, you get it,
yeah, they're one-off,
right? So you get it the first time
first
you
month.
Sub,
yes, no. And
but
I don't know,
I'm
what
trying to get my head around what it is you're getting every month.
The only thing they're saying,
it provides
getting
$6 withdrawn from your bank account.
It says it's providing easy access to a range of valuable benefits for both new and long-standing players on the latest generation consoles. It gets you a recurring monthly $500K, so that's the one thing. Plus the opportunity to claim properties in and around Los Santos that unlock gameplay updates you have missed out on, special vehicle upgrades, member only discounts, GTA money and RP bonuses, and more each month.
Am I hearing this right? They're stating that there are gameplay elements you can't play normally unless you get this?
I think there are some gameplay bits.
No.
Well, it says to claim properties.
Just cost a lot of credits to unlock, usually.
Yeah, so I to my understanding, you can buy businesses that unlock new gameplay options, and if you don't have that much money, So it gives you that.
So you, I mean, the Principe de Vesta is a hypercar, like, or a supercar in the game that you get. Okay. I mean, from what I'm seeing here, the biggest value potentially, if you already own a yacht, is that you can get the free upgrade to free. The Aquarius super yacht at no additional cost. Which is, I mean, that is potentially a significant upgrade if you, but you already have to own a yacht for that, which is a lot of money. And they're kind of useless in the game.
Like in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are money sinks. Yeah.
They are. I guess I'm not getting it. So they're doing shark cards still.
Yeah. So wait, no, it does say the auto shop does introduce an assortment of gameplay updates, but it doesn't say what those updates are.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. But so they're doing shark cards already.
Yeah.
And now they're adding the sub on top, which is basically just very particular vehicles, as well as a couple spots that maybe or maybe don't unlock unique gameplay elements for those. And then an upgrade for a yacht.
To me, it's like kind of like PS Plus or like let's say Game Pass or some shit. That's a bad analogy.
Well,
it is basically like a shortcuts card subscription, right?
They give you different free shit every month, though. Yeah,
yeah, true.
To me, it reads like a shark card subscription because a shark card on its own for 500,000 costs $10 a month.
Oh, I see.
You do also get...
Well, not a month, sorry. It costs $10 for 500K. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The subscription apparently will also net you additional cash when you buy a shark card.
Yeah, and also, didn't you say three
That's
times
so
something?
Fucking
you said three times something. Three times RP points or something? You said three...
Yeah, there you was get like extra... A... Yeah, like you know, like an XP buff, basically, okay. And money buff, so you earn more shit, yeah.
For doing the Works Race series, yeah, and Street Race series for car meet rep, yeah.
It's just like they're slapping on a sub, and, you know, people who are playing the game... continuously are going to buy into it.
That news point we were going to talk about is that, you know, GTA, the next generation GTA, you know, became number one seller. Beat out Elden Ring and stuff. So obviously, I'm a big proponent of saying people are screwing all the time, so babies are popping out. So that means new gamers are coming in every day. But it feels to me like even if you look at how many people who probably didn't have it, a number of people are rebuying it for their next gen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quadruple dipping.
Mm-hmm. People started buying it on the PS3, then double dipped for PS4, then PC, and now...
And now PS5, yeah.
So you know what my problem here is? If we continue to buy this goddamn game, they're never going to make a GTA 6.
Yeah, and you can't, like, stop it. You can't be like, hey, everyone stop buying this game, and, you know...
Yeah, that's right. It's
There's been times though where I've actually wished I had that superpower about video games.
That would have been amazing.
When I hear about a video game that I think is like, you know, just well, I remember distinctly the first time I wished I had the superpower, and that was NBA 21 or whatever, where you had to buy different hair for your beard and your head or different dyes. And I was like, this needs to die. This is the worst microtransaction ever. I just wish I could tell people like Shazam, and I'll be like, don't buy it, and nobody would buy it.
Like, shouldn't FIFA and 2K and Madden, shouldn't those all be, like, gas games?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, even that I could see, like, a subscription to play a game like that. But they sell you that game, those games, every year.
Yeah.
And people will continue to buy them. And buying it is just the beginning. If you're, like, a 2K player, a Madden player,
you're
you can't
a whale.
Just buy the game.
Nah, right? You're buying cards and shit, dude. You're fucking gambling. You're straight up gambling.
The game is just a cover fee for the casino.
Yeah.
We should also say the 500,000 is nothing in terms of, like...
Somebody said that in chat. They were like, 500,000 you can get in, like, 30 minutes.
I haven't played it in years now, but when I stopped, like, the new cars they were releasing, I think they were, like, the supercars. They were, like, 3 million or so to buy. Cool. So, I mean, you can half a year and you can maybe buy a car.
What's worse, the money and progression in GTA online or in GT7?
What's with GT games doing this type of shit?
Yeah,
huh?
No shit. Right? What is going? I think GTA is far worse. Far worse.
Probably.
They have
watch out.
And they've got all these different tiers, and if you do this race, blah blah blah. It's like with GT7, I think we all look at it, and regardless if you're a whale or not, regardless, you can usually go, this is off. It's not dramatically completely like GTA. GTA is just weird. GT7 though has the same issue as GTA did, which is online only, which really. You know, we were talking about people forgetting and then doing it again. Remember when Xbox was like, our DRM is going to be always online with the Xbox One. And Sony's like, you just put the disc in, bitch, and you can play. And then all of a sudden, PS5's got a bunch of games that the game's not even on the disc. Like, it starts your download. So over time, they just creep back in, man. They're creepers. They just keep coming back. It's sad, but whatever. I mean, I don't want to get too down on it. People enjoy it. Go enjoy your game. I'm not going to play it, but I mean, whatever. What else?
Everyone stop buying GTA. Please stop.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work, man. It doesn't work.
I mean, I did like in in GTA Online, I did own like a bunker, a nightclub, the biker business. Like I did all of that stuff. The grind is fairly horrible in it, and not really particularly fun or enjoyable.
Well, let's talk then about the possible, maybe, perhaps, announcement that might happen next week. So,
which is
Bloomberg. Bloomberg was like, "Hey, man, check out our website because we got new dates." And then you click on it, and they basically say, "Spartacus could be announced as early as next week." It's like I could have done that.
Like a game?
No. Their online service. We've known that for it could be announced tomorrow. Right. That's not news, but they got people to buy into it and be like, oh my God, it could be announced next week. So let's pretend it is. I want to pretend Spartacus, which by the way, Spartacus died, but whatever. Bad names aside, let's say Spartacus shows up. How does Sony compete? How does Sony start to compete? Let's not be stupid. How does Sony start to compete? They've already stated day one is not there. They call them splashy games. There'll be some splashy titles on this release. How do they start to compete? Price?
No.
Exclusives, I guess. But
Here's the problem with that, right? Like, and again, this is just going by the price leak that they've already that has already come out. It doesn't appear that they want to compete on price, and it doesn't appear that they want to compete on sort of like for like offerings. So I think that based on the leak, one of two things are going to have to change. If they want to charge that price, I think they have to do day and date. If they're not going to do day and date, it needs to be offered as a value. Disney Plus launched and they were like a third of the price of Netflix and they were able to shoot to 100 million.
Yeah.
HBO Max, on the other hand, is $15 a month. And we haven't even gotten any subscription numbers from that because they're probably very low. So I don't know, because if you don't do day, and I'm not saying they have to do day and date, but if you don't do day and date, they are effectively telling you that for the privilege of being one of the lucky people to be a part of the PlayStation subscription service, you're going to pay us more for less than what our competitors are offering. And maybe that works when you say, hey, we've got God of War over here, we've got Horizon over here, but we're not going to give it to you day one because you don't deserve that for your money. Meanwhile, the competition thinks that you deserve Doom and Fallout and Starfield later this year and Halo and Forza. So the thing is, we can't really say that there's only blockbusters coming from Sony, because that's just, you know, because of Microsoft's big wallet, that's not the case anymore. And it gets worse if this whole Activision Blizzard thing goes through. So I think in the face of what the competition is offering, they have to do something. They cannot And what the leak was says it's like a dollar more expensive than Game Pass. So I don't know how they do it. The only thing I could think of is if, you know, in movies right now, they're doing this like a predefined 45-day window.
Yeah.
So if we say, hey, 60 days or 30 days, 90 days, whatever it is, you got to buy it, and then it's guaranteed to come to the service. But if you're going to leave the consumer out to say, maybe this game will come and maybe that game will come, I think, or we're only going to do indie games in here, I don't think that that passes the smell test, personally.
Rumovich does a super chat, $10. Just wanted to offer some support for the common sense points of view. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you very much. And then a man named Spartacus posted $2 super chat. Hey, that's me. All right. So go. Who wants to talk? I have a question.
So do you think, is it going to?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Be like PS Now, where it's going to be available on every platform. Do you think, or is it only on the PS5 or
only
PS4?
On console, only on console.
Yeah, I think
that makes it even worse, though, right?
It does. Like, it does.
So now you're offering it in less places, charging more, and not giving your number one titles in day and date. I think
the only way, like at this point for me, at least personally, for it to compete or for me to buy into it, I feel like they would have to add all the exclusive games they've had since like PS1, PS2, and even PS3 that you can't really play anymore, that you need an emulator for, and make those available. And I think that's like a big selling point for them.
I think that wouldn't be enough, because if you look at every single other competitor in the space of services for games, you can talk about the UPay one, whatever it's called,
Ubi,
right?
Like Ubi Plus.
UPay Plus, yeah, you pay more. EA, right? EA, all those, the big point of those and why people actually buy them fairly often or go back to them, even if they drop them, is game releases.
Yes. Yeah?
So
for
a new
sure.
game hits on the Ubisoft store, a lot of people are going to be like, you know, I don't really want to come back to this game after I play the campaign. I'm going to get 1 month of Uplay Plus and just bang it out.
That's true. That gives it the longevity, right? Like if there was like a PS3 game you want to play, you would just subscribe once and play it and then leave. Yeah.
Exactly. And if we're saying, just to wrap up that point, if we're saying like new games on the PlayStation are not going to have that appeal, all of a sudden the service itself just isn't that good of a proposition, I think, compared to all the others.
So they explicitly stated they're not doing day one releases.
I don't know.
Have they?
Well, they haven't said that. That's just what is expected. But again, I think they could get away with a tiered window, right? I think they could, if they said, hey, we're going to release Ragnarok. You're guaranteed, if you're in this service, you could buy it day one, or you could wait 30 days or whatever time period they say, 45 days. And now they're sort of doing windowing. So I think if they said that and people could count on it, so everything that's out right now would launch in the service. New games, you got to wait some predefined period of time. And I think just because they have very loyal fans, they could get away with that. But barring some kind of definite windowing term, I don't know how they get away with it. I don't know how you and as time goes on, as more acquisitions come from the competition, as more of those games come day one, it just makes that other service look less valuable. And I don't know how they do it without doing day to day.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Anybody have anything to add?
No, I agree.
I do want to point out just one thing on this service too, is that it is weird that the company that supposedly doesn't release blockbusters, which is Microsoft, and I get that. But they're doing day and date, and Sony is, it sounds like not. I thought officially they had stated something about services probably not having date, but regardless, if they don't, then it becomes this weird thing where it's like just the company telling you you have to pay. And Sony's already doing some weird shit, $70 games, which, by the way, people, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's like when I do a review, there are a lot of people who are like, listen, 60 was my max. It's what I've been budgeting at. I'm sorry, but it's going to take, I can't actually, I don't like what, maybe they're married, right? And maybe they're budgeting their exact amount, or maybe they're single and they're having to budget, or maybe they're just frugal, but they're like, dude, $70, it makes no sense. Like GT, it wasn't even running for multiple days. So not multiple days, multiple hours. So people are like, $70 for that? I don't think so. Sony continually thinks they're more like significant. There's something that they think, and it, you can see it in everything they do. It's like something that they think, and that they push that on the consumer, which is very odd.
Didn't they also say for Forspoken it was going to be 80? It was going to push to 80? Someone fact check me on that, but today I was having a conversation and someone brought this up.
It might be the discussion, the usual between dollars and euros, because in Europe it is 80 euros for all the games.
And Canadian all games are 80 bucks.
In rubles, it's a submarine.
Okay, dude.
I'm just saying.
Shit is, yeah.
I'm just, like, it depends on where you are. We hear this all the time. Where you are, matters. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I personally think that they need to be clearer rather than tiered. I don't like the idea of even being smart on tiering. What I would like them to do is be like, here's our amount. You get Sony movies day and date on our system somehow. Like, as in, if it's a Sony published movie, you can watch it on your PlayStation like you would go to the theater. This will never happen. I'm saying this is what would capture gamers. And entertainment folks. And then you also say day one games, boom, as well. And here's the price.
Don't forget the Crunchyroll Funimation.
And Crunchyroll.
They merged those.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. Nice.
True.
Yeah.
That's theirs.
And speaking of animation, speaking of all this kind of stuff, let's jump into Steve's stuff for Everborn Saga. So here's what's weird. Everybody knew you, and they didn't ask the question I want to ask, which is, where did all this start? Like, where did it what was the day one for Everborn Saga?
Do you guys remember the Windows phone?
Yes. Only the failure.
I had one.
Yes.
Yes.
So I was a diehard Windows phone guy, and I wanted to teach myself how to code. So I said, I'm going to do it by making a game. And I said, I'm going to make a game on a fledgling platform because it's easier to get noticed.
Gotcha.
So that at that time, if you're an indie dev and you just made anything, because it was such like an app desert on that platform at the time, you just get noticed and people would pick you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was nobody, but I said, I'm going to teach myself how to code. I'm going to make a game. So in 2012, I make this like basically like it's a Pong ripoff, but I called it Star Tennis. So it was like Pong, but with lightsabers, right? I even like stole the sound effects, right?
That's way to do it.
So then I said, okay, for my follow-up game, I'm going to make a game that I used to play, like a Mario-style game. So I said I wanted to design a character that was kind of cutesy like Mario, but attitude like Sonic. And I like swords, so I'm going to give him a sword. So I spent 3 years just learning how to code and then making this game called Ariel's World. And it's basically like Mario with a sword, right? You jump on people's heads. Your uncle gets kidnapped. You need to get him back from the Viking mage Magnus. That was it. No story, nothing. Game comes out. We are... at least in the week that we launched, we were the number one paid 2D platformer, which is, I know, is very specific, and number one paid 2D platformer on an ecosystem that has like 300 devices is not like a huge...
But it still feels good, right? Like to see like you're number one there. Yeah.
Right. So so we did that. And then, a year or two later, we find out that... Windows Phone is getting shut down. And this is while I'm in the middle of working on the sequel. So, and there were no tools that I could easily port. There were some, but I said, I'm going to switch over to Unity. And so when I'm learning how to use Unity and I'm working on all that, I said, you know what? I want to give this one a story. So I say, well, why does your uncle get kidnapped? Right? You're Ariel. Why does your uncle? By the way, Ariel's this guy. Yeah, there we go. That's Ariel. That's his uncle. That's the Magnus guy who kidnaps your uncle, right? Oh. So I say, well, why does he get kidnapped? And I'm like, well, you know, maybe his uncle has a backstory. The backstory is his uncle is secretly the Prince of Arcadia. And he has a secret he's hiding, and he's raising the kid in hiding, and there's some big thing going on. So I start going down that path, and I'm like, well, okay, well, there are all these maps, and those maps have kingdoms, and those kingdoms have like, you know, castles, and those castles have like people in it. And then I realize I have all of these notes, and I'm like, I could turn this into like a thing. And so I don't really know where to start, but I say, all right, well, I know this uncle, Baltimore, or Baldy, as we call him, he has a backstory, so I would start with that. And now I'm basically telling what is, in our world, The Hobbit, like, takes place 30 years before the events of the kidnapping, the Ariel timeline, the Ariel's Adventure timeline. So I start telling that Prince of Arcadia story, and that's this one. This is Young Man Baltimore. Takes place 30 years before, and like I said, that's Old Man Baltimore.
Are these books the or images or
these are comics?
Those are They're comics. Like, he's also comics. Doing. He's done pretty much everything. That's why. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
We're starting with the game right now.
Okay. That's very cool.
And so when I was while I was developing all that, there were all these other characters around the world, and so the idea was to basically the ones that were the most fleshed out, I was going to give each of them their own series, right? All taking place in the same world. The things that happen in the past affect the future, or the present. And then we would just have them all meet up with each other, and we're building up towards this big event, which is Magnus. Again, this guy, he's the guy with the helmet. So he's the immortal Seraph. And he is coming back to basically take over the world, because like 300 years ago, he was ruling the world with his seraphs, and they were defeated, and he was banished. And now his, but ever since then, the seraphs have sort of been hunted, and they found a way to bring him back so that they can kind of, rule over the humans and everyone else again. So that's basically the backdrop in which this whole story takes place. And now we see all these characters, where they are in the world, and it's all going to converge to this big war that will happen some years from now as I tell this story.
So when you were, 3 years for the first game or the second game?
Yeah, first game. So, second game is not out yet.
That's still in the works. And that'll be Unity?
It's going to be done in Unity, but... Okay. So instead of doing, and that game like right now is like done. I could do a build if you have an iPhone, I'll send it to you. But we've actually paused the, and by we, I mean me, because I'm a one-man show for that. But we've paused the Ariel's Adventure work because that's going to, I've since increased the scope of what I want it to be. And we are now working on a 2D beat-em-up. For the Redlands, which is the book we just released in the Kickstarter. So it's going to basically play like Turtles in Time, Streets of Rage 4. And cool. To all you 2D beat 'em up guys, I know that those are two vastly different games, but the job here is for us to make them feel similar.
Right.
Yeah, right. And we are working on the vertical slice right now. We're trying to have that out this year for something that people can play in Steam. That's
like a demo
Steam ahead now.
Yeah, but, like vertical slice demo.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, we want to do about 4 levels with 2 bosses. Nice. But and we have another book, like a proper novel coming out for the 4th series. and that's called The Remnant, and it'll launch alongside a comic, which is just an adapted version of the first two chapters.
So when you were putting together the game, when did you decide on the comic part? Because that was what surprised me when we were talking on Iron Lords. Was like, it was, you did a lot. You sort of hustled multiple things at the same time, and you got a comic out as well. Like, did you one day just go, I want to also tell these stories, and so I'm going to do the comic, and just go hire people to do that? Because you don't do the drawings, right? This is like a team you hire.
I can't draw to save my life.
Gotcha.
Right? I can code, and I can write scripts. That's all I know. And I can fund.
But yeah, exactly.
Other than that, that's where my skill set ends. So yeah, I had to put together a team. And believe it or not, the comics are way harder to do than the games, right? Because you have to find a team of people that kind of are simpatico with you and your vision and the style that you want. So they were just getting off the ground. There are like two finished versions of Prince of Arcadia that will never see the light of day.
Gotcha.
Just because they're not good. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. that's no shade on whoever.
It just drew didn't it, come together.
Yes. It just wasn't. And that's part of it is my fault. Part of it's their fault. And so when I found the right team and I had all of these pages and pages of notes and then fully realized scripts, I realized telling all of this inside of a 2D platformer is probably not the best thing for something that was like primarily being designed for like mobile at the time. So I said, I started going to Comic-Con and I started like meeting people, like independent creators. And I was like, wow, this is a thing that can actually, you know, be done. Mm-hmm. And there's so many avenues to publish right now. Right. Like all these books are available on Amazon. Don't go to Amazon because they're crooks. It's better if you go to everyonesucker.com.
There you go. I was going to drop that if you didn't.
So, I mean it. Like you buy a $10 book on mm-hmm. Amazon and I get like $2.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just learning about publishing, learning about printing, learning about crowdfunding, going to shows and meeting other creators who are farther down in that journey and doing all that networking made me say, like, this is something more than just a love letter to the 16-bit era of gaming, right? That's where it all started, but now it's kind of grown into its own universe, and almost the comics are kind of the main thing right now. Like, we'll have a novel and the game, you know, or the next game will be out whenever it's out. But like, those are almost like supplementary to the story I'm trying to tell, because the foundation now, instead of just being an experiment for me, is an actual world and lore and a fantasy universe. And I look at Everborn as sort of a tapestry, a canvas, a milieu, if you will, of fertile ground to tell any story in that setting, right?
Right.
When you think of Star Wars or you think of Game of Thrones, and not that I'm comparing this to that, but in the sense that once you set a foundation of in a world that is fully realized, you can tell any amount of stories.
Right.
In that world. And that's what I'm trying to build here. So it's starting with this as a foundation of these four characters that we're going to follow. So it's one story, two timelines, and four series, all following a different character, telling the story from their vantage point. But once that is, you know, set and that foundation is built, other characters could come in and there's, you know, infinite possibilities to tell other stories.
It's funny because the reason why I became so excited. So we've had Matt Broom. He was an artist for Batman, but then he worked at Sony and did DC Universe on the PS3 and then moved on. And he does other stuff now. And then we were lucky enough to have Brian Edward Hill, who's done a ton of comics as well as movies. I think he's currently doing one of the Marvel. No, he's doing the DC, the Teen Titans.
Okay.
And he's the writer and he's been on four or five times. And it's weird to me because I know everybody's like comics. I mean, dude, like, you know, people are collecting ones from, you know, hundreds of years ago, it feels like. But I just got into them in the last Same. 4 or 5 years. And admittedly, I'm very picky. But what I've always loved is when there's a video game or a movie and they do books or comic books after. So, like, I think my first experience with this was Firefly, the TV show / Serenity was a movie. And they had 4 or 5 comics.
That and, comics? Damn.
Yeah, they do. They follow the Doctor. They follow, I think, everyone or most of the big characters. And I did the same thing you did, but not as a creator, but I started to realize it's like there's this sort of, there's a sort of a duality of options for people now that it doesn't just have to be a game. And then if you do get somebody who likes your comics, then they might like the game. If they like the game, they might like the comics. And like you said, there's a lot of stories, and I'm thank God you didn't put this shit in your 2D platformer. But sometimes you just don't want to go X, X, X through a guy saying like, and 75 years ago, and you're like, I don't care. I just want to punch people. But having the comic in there, and I'm going to give you my hope, not an expectation of you. Here's what I've hoped, though, in the past. I think Telltale might have done this, but I would love to see a game where the game plays, but the comics are digitally in the title in some way. If that makes sense. So even if it's just like, do you want to read this on the screen and you want to see the comic on the screen and stuff like this, like all the, I've been thinking about this before. But it's so cool to see people doing all this stuff, because when you said there was an opening for you to tell all the stories and stuff, I'm like, dude, there's like audio dramas now. Audio dramas are like huge. Like, go ahead. Sorry, Abzi.
I was saying, or have it like Tunic, where you go around in the game and you collect comic pages.
That would be odd. Comic, be awesome. What was the game? The Genesis game. Comic.
No. I know what you're talking about. It's comics.
Comics.
Hold on. I literally have this on my phone.
You know
hold
what
on.
I'm talking about, though?
No. Like, I have, because they released it on the iPhone. Comics. What is this called? Okay.
Comic Zone. Somebody beat us. Yes. Somebody beat us in chat. So, Amen. Dude, like, yes. Like, fuck, I love the idea of that. Or there. Okay,
I don't know if you can see this.
This is Sega. By Sega?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's all these ideas that, you know, like right now, Sony has patented the you can reward people physically, digitally, financially for platinums. Their trophies. And I'm like, dude, imagine playing a game like that where if a person gets their platinum trophy, they also get a digital code for the comic, QRC code, whatever. There's all these different things that overlap, which is so exciting. And to hear people like you, because you, I saw that you're software engineer, right? Or software.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All these guys are, but me and Silver. I think we're the only two who aren't.
Yeah.
And so that was another reason I want to have you on, because I do like the idea of somebody knowing, hey, I can write, I can code, but I can't do this. And then jumping to that, I'm always really I'm always impressed by somebody who can say, and you said you had two that didn't work out. I get that.
Yeah.
But the idea that you had a third one that did, to me, that's like the juice of it all, is that you finally found a group and you're like, I now have a game and now I have a comic. There's something to me that's just exciting about that. And I don't want to get into business, but I do want to sort of, you don't have to tell me the exact. I'll just say this, is getting a full-fledged comic super expensive? And you can use your own term for super expensive.
So it all depends on who, what you need done. Cause there are some artists that need a writer. There's some writers that need an artist.
Okay.
Are you going to separate out the layouts from the pencils, from the inking, from mm-hmm. the lettering, and the colors? Some people, you might get them to do all that at once, but I'd say about on average, you're looking at about $100 per produced page. Per page.
And he's got two that didn't work out, by the way. Just remember that. Yeah.
and you if you think that, you know, a standard comic size, like our comics are about 60 pages.
Yeah, your comics are thick.
Right. Thick.
They are. Yeah, I saw that.
But also, you figure because you know a lot of people they want to produce like a graphic novel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You figure that's 100 pages, 120 pages. Think about times 100.
That's and not including your time trying to
contact
people, because or you could hire an assistant, but then you have to trust that person. So
and then there's cover art, but then if you're going, then there's printing, right? And like this, you know, I'll just give you this one, right? This is our hardcover, the first hardcover we did. It puts together chapters 1 and 2 of this, right?
And so how big is that one?
This one is 100 pages, but book two is 120 pages. Just because we had, you know, I couldn't cut off the, I didn't want to edit, right?
Right.
to print that hardcover book, it is maybe $5 a pop all in, but you have to buy at least 500 of them just to get that price, right? Yeah. So, and then it takes 2 months to get it because you're only getting that price if you order from China. If you order it here, you're going to spend like $8 to $10 for one of them. So those are the things to think about. So what we try to do is I'll usually fund the production of the books myself, then go to the Kickstarter. So I know everyone's going to get their book.
Oh, and smart then, move.
And then what the Kickstarter basically pays for is the bulk printing.
Yeah.
So let's say we order 1,000 from whatever we did from the Kickstarter. It'll take like 100 of those to fill the, you know, the backers, right? 100 books. Now I got 900 books to sell that will sort of
recoup some of that, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even
the Kickstarter doesn't really make money because the Kickstarter buys the books to actually sell them. And then you go to the shows. And that's where you sell them, and then from the website and things like that.
I did a successful Kickstarter for bicycle cards, a plane deck, and I hired artists, and I made a D&D themed one. We had 48,000 people, and I got to tell you, the worst problem with Kickstarter was nothing that I expected. I was like, okay, I know that we're going to lose on this. I had to put, you know, your special stuff together because everybody likes bonus tiers. It was that. I didn't have anybody to help me, so I did 48,000 shipments by myself.
Oh my God.
Well, my wife. And it was every day going to the post office. And that's where the money's lost because, well, not that's only the place, but because that is time, you know, and you could be doing something else. And it was, it's so interesting. You'll see people look at Kickstarter and be like, why is this book this much money or whatever? And you're like, dude. Like a lot of Kickstarters need to really go beyond to make money. A lot of the Kickstarters like yourself are more about, like you said, very smartly, I already have these. I know they're going to be
setting the foundation.
Yeah. And you don't have to wait for shit. I used Bicycle to make my cards, which was like 3 times as expensive, but I wanted their cards. But the Kickstarters, I see that a lot with Kickstarters where people look at a price and they'll look at something and be like, maybe, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you don't realize that most of the time those things, if they are successful, need to be quadruply so to do, you know, really well. Or they're going to be like you having to go to a show and sell those to recoup, you know. But you're making fans, which is another thing, obviously.
Yeah, and that's sort of where it is now. Because, like, I think last year, and I've been doing this since 2017, and last year was the first time we broke even. And I'm only talking about a calendar year of breaking even. There's way more invested in since the beginning than we've taken in.
Yeah.
But it is a long road. And it's right now it's all about sort of fan acquisition. So if people know about the books and people get them in their hands and they show them to their friends and say, hey, look at this. I know this cool series, pay attention to it. Cause you know, like when you're everybody loves you when you're not successful. And then as soon as you blow up, they're like, oh, look at that guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, this is so cool. It's so niche. It's so awesome. And then when it blows up, it's like, oh fuck this.
Because America in particular loves a success story and loves tearing people down. We are quite literally split brained. It's like, I see it myself. If I had said something when I was a smaller channel, people would be like, okay. But as a bigger channel, suddenly it's like, I hate him. he's obviously successful. He's got a yacht. And it's like, nah, not so much, buddy.
Said, no, that yacht is in GTA.
Yeah. Oh, I've even had people now, people will be like, oh, he says he doesn't do sponsored reviews. Back then, people would be like, this is amazing. Now I actually have people who argue for it. They'll be like, I think you just think you're better than everybody for not doing it. I'm like, no, but I think that my focus is going to be obviously different. And they get mad about it. And you're like, wow, you just want to tear somebody down, man. But let's stay positive. So you get all this. Yep. You get your shit together. You get comics out. You get two. You got one game out, one game on hold.
Yeah.
Right? Is that okay? And then you got the comics out. What is the plan right now? Continue with the comics, it sounds like. And then the game will come.
Yeah. So we've released one game. You can look this up. I think Windows Central did a review on us, but you can just go to YouTube and look for Ariel's Adventure. You'll see some things. Ariel's World and Ariel's Adventure. And Ariel's Adventure is the sequel that is on hold. But if you go to Everborn Saga on YouTube, you can see some of the playtests of that. But we do have like a third game in the works that is a smaller project because, you know, it's a 2D beat 'em up. Those are easy to make than a big platform, at least in the way that, you know, we're trying to do it. We're trying to do like a Metroid. I call it Mariovania because it's like you unlock power-ups that will let you into different parts of level. It's the whole thing. We'll talk about that later. Right now, the next big thing that we're going to release is the proper novel written by myself and edited by several people because I can't spell to save my life. The novel will be out and we're releasing one more comic series. And then going forward, like I said, that lays our foundation. So we're going to do sequel chapters to all of the series right now. We're in the early stages of Ariel's Adventure Chapter 2 and Prince of Arcadia Chapter 5. And then we'll get, and the Remnant Chapter 1 is getting ready to come out. And after that, we'll be working on the Redlands Chapter 2. So there's a team of about six of us between, there's one guy that does cover art for all of the books. Mm-hmm. There's two people that do lettering. There's two artists and one colorist for everything because the reason we use the same colorist is we want it to all feel like it's in the same
together.
World.
Right.
So you can think of every chapter of the comic that we release as a POV chapter in like a Game of Thrones book. Right. So it's really all one story and you can read them in whatever order you want. But they are all a part of a thing. So even though we're at chapter one and chapter four, it's really we're six chapters into this epic fantasy.
That's really exciting.
It is, and comics do that anyway. So I don't think it's that confusing.
Yeah. And I've never read comics or mangas or anything until I think like last week I started getting into Berserk. I bought like the big deluxe edition books. Rest in peace. I got the book and it's like fucking thick as shit. Okay. It's a huge book. And I looked at it and I'm like, damn, this is going to take me forever. Dude, I finished it in like a fucking day, dude. Like comics are because of the images,
bingeable.
Yeah, they're very bingeable, but they also like it's very, because I'm used to like novels or normal books with like, it's like filled with words, right? And those things like they go by really fast. Just, you know, having all these, I feel like having all these different like point of views and then putting them all into like big books, I think would be really cool as well.
Yeah, and all part of the because what we're trying to, honestly, this was all like inspired, believe it or not, by The Matrix, and I will die on the hill that The Matrix Reloaded is every bit as good as The Matrix. Fight me, everybody.
I love Reloaded, dude.
Reloaded is great. Like the worst thing about Reloaded is Revolutions, because that movie was hot garbage. But anyway, so the idea that they were telling this transmedia story where some of it takes place in the game, some of it takes place in the animatrix, and other parts of it take place in the movies. I had always been in love with that idea, and that's sort of what we're trying to do here. But You know, the bigger thing here is when we think about these things, as a creator, if you have an idea, and I know it can be expensive, but, you know, crowdfunding can help with that. Just start to put something out, because, you know, learning from, you know, I had a lot of failures, and learning from those failures are what you build on to kind of do your next thing. That doesn't just apply to making comics or video games. It's kind of like in life, right? A failure is only a failure if you learn nothing from it, right? So you have to kind of take whatever kind of hardship and struggles you have and use that so that you're better the next time. But I say all that to say, if you have an idea, find a way to make it, even if it's bad, because your next iteration of that idea will be better. And we are in a world right now where all the comic book properties are bought up, right? Disney owns Marvel, Warner Brothers right. owns DC. But there's a lot of other, you know, producers and movie studios and, you know, streaming services that want their own piece of the comic book pie. Right. And so a lot of indie creators are getting their ideas adapted and yep. turned into, you know, movies and TV, like right back there. All those comic books I have back there, like most of the comics that I stopped reading superhero comics when I was in high school, like, and I've been reading comics my whole life, but they've always been sort of indie stories just because there's, you know, more freedom of things to do there. But they just turned DMZ into a series. Yeah. Right. They just turned Why the Last Man into a series. I don't know if you follow Black Sands, but that guy is kind of doing like a Gods of Egypt, but with actual Black people. Who would have thought, right? he was just on Shark Tank, and Kevin Hart and Mark Cuban invested $500,000 into his company, right? Right now is the greatest time to be a creator, because people are looking for IP, and there's nothing like being in a pitch room and saying, hey, I have an idea, and it's already based on source material and it already has fans. So what I'm doing right now is creating that legwork for one day when, you know, Netflix or whoever knocks on my door and they want to turn this thing into a series. Right. And I'm not going to sell out unless the price is right. Like if you offer me $4 billion, like they gave George Lucas, I'm telling you right now, I'll sell out. But what I'm saying, for the most part, I'm establishing the groundwork to one day, you know, seeing this thing on the big screen.
Very you know, cool, Steve, man. It's interesting to me. You mentioned like a cutoff point for graphic novels being like 100 pages or so.
Some are a lot bigger, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the minimum for a graphic novel.
That's interesting to me, because here in Europe, we have a very, very rich tradition for graphic novels, particularly in France and Belgium. I don't know if you're familiar with the bande dessinée, as they're popularly referred to, but like they're basically graphic novels running like 40 to 60 pages.
Okay, interesting.
That are like these albums, basically, that they run. Which are stuff I grew up with. Like one of the most famous artists of those is a guy called Möbius, whose art basically yeah. inspired like Star Wars yep. and Blade Runner and like founded cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk.
Like there's a very, very rich tradition here for that sort of graphic novels, and a lot of like independent studios that run that, though some of those have also sort of been monopolized by bigger media conglomerates, unfortunately. But that's interesting to me that there's that sort of in America that's sort of the cutoff point for like terming graphic.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, everybody says we have ADD. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like you guys with your pinky up and your wine or drinking and fucking yeah. reading 600 page things. Maybe us Americans are like 40 pages. That's it. That's all I'm reading. 40 pages. I do want to move on here because we do have a bunch of different sessions we need to do, including free games. But if you guys get a chance, I've dropped his link a couple times. I'm going to drop it here again, and we'll circle back around to Everborn, and he'll make sure to give you all of his links as well at the end of this. But it's always interesting to hear somebody doing well and creating their own thing. And I do have to mimic.
I love this type of shit, man. Like supplemental stuff to other shit, like games supplemented by like comics, not doing the same exact other thing, media. But just like, just like supplementing it with more, like that MMO that had a TV show, or fucking even Final Fantasy 15 with Kingsglaive and the anime. I always love this shit. I think it's really cool.
The one thing I was going to say was that, now is the time, because I was asked yesterday. Somebody was like, "What do you have new advice for somebody wanting to do YouTube?" And I'm like, "Dude, you're way late. You need to have already done something," and that's quite literally the truth. And it sounds like what he's saying is pretty much that's also a way to go into a meeting with like a Netflix. If you say, "Hey, this is already here. I already have all this stuff," and it's easier for people to buy in. That's the same way. Just don't get stymied right now, unfortunately, because of sickness and war and all this stuff. You have the largest contained audience that YouTube / entertainment will probably ever have in the future. I mean, it's ridiculous. The amount of entertainment being imbibed, like there are companies who are just racking the numbers saying that like the leaps that they thought were going to happen are quadruple what has happened. Or what has happened is quadruple because of people being stuck at home, working from home. You got your old podcast on the side. Now you're listening to that. You're reading a comic on the side where you're answering phones for a job, even though you should be working, you bastard. But long story short, now's the time. Definitely get out there and start. Speaking about deals, though, for a second, Reg.
Yes.
Free games and games that aren't free but look free. What are they?
All right. Fairly short list this week. Free, totally free on the Epic Steam game store. We have Demon's Tilt. And on the Microsoft store, Sacred 2 Fallen Angel. That's it. Subscription stuff. PC Game Pass has Norco and Zero Escape, the Nonary games. And Game Pass for Xbox has F1 2021. Kraken Academy, Tainted Grail Conquest, and also Zero Escape, the Nonary games. And coming next week, Crusader Kings 3.
Actually, really want to play Crusader Kings.
It's a fun-ass fucking game, dude. It's so good.
So that'll be
one of the best games for like an emergent narrative.
That's going to be Game Pass on console?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a smart move.
I was saying I want to play it to like help with some of the future scripts, because like some of the double crosses and marriages that you have to do are
bro. I wed my son to this Duke guy or Emperor's daughter because I wanted to get good with the dude, and then I found out my son plotted to kill my grandmother. You know,
yes.
Like, dude, what?
Kids. Wow, I did, and I'm evil when I play those games. I'm like, let's see if the depths of evil can be mimicked, and they can, and you can be good too. It's a fantastic game, but it is deep.
And they keep adding more.
Yeah, they added a 3D court now that where you can see, you can actually like have sort of a room like Sims kind of thing. It's very cool.
Nice.
So that's it though. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it for free stuff. Again, you guys were talking about games coming out and sort of being lost in the shuffle, and I do believe that's why we're just not seeing releases right now, because why get lost in Elden Ring, GTA, and all that stuff? It just feels like that's sort of what they're doing. Is like that's why we're getting lean. I hope because I keep bringing that up as the excuse, and I hope it does get better. We'll see April, May. There's not a lot next month. Actually, I was looking at that. What were you going to say, Everborn?
No. I hear like both sides of that argument of, you know, it's a really dry time in gaming, and then also it's the best time in gaming because, you know, this February we had like Sifu or Saifu and Horizon.
It was
Dying Light 2.
Dying Light 2, Nick. All those things.
Babylon's Fall, you know.
Wait, what?
Oh,
one
man.
Of those ain't like the other.
Oh, man. Right. Okay, sorry, continue.
Crossfire X, right?
This is just going to get bad because there were some bad games.
But no, it's, you know, there's a bunch of amazing, I think, games right now. And I think a Plague's Tale is coming out, but not till June.
Can't wait.
But I do think there are, and the funny thing is, most of those games that were so good were all slated for 2021.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're just kind of pushed back. Everything is pushed back like a year. And the people who tried to force their games out early, we saw it. They were met with catastrophic failure.
Yeah, true.
Battlefield 2042. But the thing is, you know, I mean, I could also cough and say Halo co-op, but
that's going to send us into a death spiral if we have to talk about that shit.
I mean, we're also getting amazing indie games every week.
And listen, for me, that's the silver lining here is that a lot of these indie games are now have more of a chance to shine. And honestly, to me, I find that most of the interesting new gameplay mechanics, that's where they're happening, right? Where the fun is happening. And these big budget, highly polished games are a lot of the times playing it safe, right? So obviously you'll have your odd man out here and there, but like what you were explaining about Weird West, the way, you know, Tunic works, just a lot of those things seem like if you're one of those gamers that is more about the actual gameplay than you are about the presentation, and some of these things are presented really well. I don't want to like denigrate anybody's artwork or anything, but like to me, that's where the most interesting stuff's happening on the indie front. So
it is also because there's a lot doing, you know, unique things, but also failing very hard at it. Like for one really good indie game, you'll see like 100 really shitty ones, right?
Hey, here's the thing though. I diss on Unity all the fucking time as an engine, and going to Unreal, I've been like, wow, it really is easier for me. But the fact is, man, in the last couple of years when Unreal went free and when these engines that allow for people to easily create, it's the best time. I still think it's the best time for gaming. Yes, we have microtransactions, but we do. And you guys know, that's a big thing to me, but the idea. And by the way, you can see these tutorials because I've been following them for the last couple months. You go online and a guy will say, in 30 minutes, we're going to make a beautiful forest in Unreal that you can walk around and chop trees down. And it's 30 fucking minutes. So he, you know, when Everborn was talking about going in and having, you know, a discussion with somebody and saying, here, this and this is made now. A normal person, not somebody who is absolutely skilled, a John Carmack who's out there programming the fucking reality to do different shit, but us normal stupid people can go in and make something and say, what if I tried this? What if the trees chop down people? And you do it, and you can fucking show it to somebody.
Let me ask you a question about Unreal, because I always thought of Unity as like, if you're doing a 2D game, just do it in Unity, it's easier. How is Unreal with like 2D stuff?
So that's actually funny you ask, because I hate 2D, but that's what I'm doing to sort of learn in Unreal. And I got to tell you, so the blueprint system is ridiculous in Unreal. And I'm messing with 4 and 5 alpha. That's the one thing I don't like about Unreal. I think Unity does it too, but they have all the versions, you know, where they're like, here's your beta version with new things. But for iteration and like getting something, doing something on the screen, it's insanely fast. But for something like what you want to do, I don't know if I can answer that, but I can say for something I want to do, I was able to make a level with graphics, with bounding, with things that you bounced on. It moved, it flipped the character up. The character did a flip and landed and could run around and die if they fell into specific spots in like an hour and a half.
Which, they also use C# and JavaScript.
Oh, yeah, of course. And you, dude, look at Ascent. Ascent is a perfect example. The Ascent, which is coming out for PlayStation. Those guys use the blueprints, and then they looked at them and were like, I don't like, but you can write your own. And so they took blueprints and modified them for their thing. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
I thought that Unreal was, you had to use C++. I know Unity uses C# and JavaScript.
Oh, maybe it's C++. C# guy.
Yeah, for manual coding in Unreal, it's C++.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
I admittedly, that does show my lack of really knowledge, because I'm using the blueprints for the most part. I mean, I've learned how to adjust them, actually, strangely enough, but which is pretty easy. But it's just or I could use artificial intelligence and just tell it what I want, and maybe it'll write me a proper program these days. But
maybe,
it is
it will go on Twitter and do something,
become
else.
A Nazi. I'm just really happy because people can iterate so quickly. Unity used to be known as the iteration, and which I loved. That's what it was for. You could get it running quicker. An Unreal, they looked at it and were like, okay, we got to fix this. We got to, and that competition has helped. That competition has made it so that, you know, somebody who just wants something, like a place to walk around, like I'm making little dioramas for ideas for my own stuff on the side, and I'm able to do it in just a couple minutes. And it's just...
That's good.
Yeah, dude, it's...
They're becoming way more accessible than before, and that's
not
awesome.
Not only that, but like you can just hit a button and it'll rain and stuff like that.
Yeah.
$10. Yeah, something... I want to read the super chat real quick. Mr. K is your super... Carrick, would you ever go on David Jaffe's chat, Ghost of War, or G-O-W, God of War, Twisted Metal channel for a chat? I know... He'd be super down. We asked him. A bunch of us want to see two of our favorite dudes shoot the shit. He did. Would I ever go? Yeah, I do podcasts. Yeah, they can contact me. I'm trying to think. He does have his new YouTube, doesn't he? Because I think I went back and forth with him. Not in a bad way, but I think I tweeted back and forth with him. Twisted Metal's the car one, right? That's a long time ago, guys. That one I remember. God of War, he must have been... The originals,
yeah,
right?
yeah. It's before Corey,
before Balrog. So, wait, is his name exactly the same as the Lord of the Rings creature?
No, it's Balrog.
Balrog, yeah.
Missed opportunity.
It's pretty
like
close.
The boxer and Street Fighter.
Yeah. Abzi, games that have been updated.
All right, there's not much here. If you guys know of any others, please let me know. You know, updates can be all over the place and hard to track. God of War got an update on PC. Aiming and blocking can be toggled now instead of hold. Triple buffering was added, and it fixed a bunch of crashing issues and increased performance through different stuff. I didn't really go into detail here. Cyberpunk, they bug fixes. Crusader King also got updated with bug fixes. Death Stranding Director's Cut got announced on Steam. Unfortunately, though, I feel like you just have to buy the game again. You can't upgrade your Death Stranding into a Director's Cut. I think you have to rebuy the whole game. Kind of like Persona, right? Binding of Isaac Rebirth got a bunch of gameplay additions and new content. I'm not going to list them all, but there's a bunch of new stuff, a bunch of like, you know, certain upgrades do different things now. I think there's a new character and there's like a bunch of more gameplay opportunities there. And then Elden Ring fixed the hacker issue. Elden Ring had a hacker issue where you'd PvP someone and they teleport you to a certain spot on the map where you keep falling and it just ruins your save. And they fixed that issue, so hackers can't teleport you anymore. That's cool.
Is that it?
Yeah, just a correction to the Death Stranding one. There is an upgrade for $10.
Oh, is there? Is there? Because I looked at the Steam and it just...
Thank
I just
God, because that was going to be the next 10 minutes of this discussion. So
okay. So that's good. So you can just pay $10 and upgrade it to a Director's Cut.
Yeah, and play a really boring game for $10 more.
It's amazing. The best riveting game I've ever played in my life. So good.
Well, let me calm down, right?
Silver. Indie game. And then we're going to go to Johnny's news about Fidelity FSR. Go for it.
Indie game of the week is Norco, which, as Reg mentioned, is coming to or out on Windows Game Pass. It is sadly PC exclusive. It's a game that's been in the works for about 5 years. About a year ago, it won the, I think, Best Game Award at the Tribeca Game Festival. It's been a bit of an indie darling. It's set in Norco, Louisiana, which is an industrial town. In Norco, there are a lot of like refineries there, chemical plants and stuff, I think. Looks to be a pretty sort of dismal place in some ways. It's a game, point-and-click adventure game with pixel art. has, I think, one of the best soundtracks, possibly the best soundtracks I've heard so far this year. Sort of this mix of synthesizer and electronic music with a very heavy punk feel to it. It's really, really good. There's a really, really solid sort of sense of place to Norco, to like the industrial landscape, which looks a lot like with the chimneys, with fire and everything. It looks a lot like the opening shot of Blade Runner.
Yeah,
to me. You basically play as Kay, for the most part, who grew up in Norco along with her brother Blake. You moved out of the city, out of the town, and sort of just drifted around the United States, and now you've returned because your mother has died of cancer. And so there are some mysteries for you.
So it's a happy-go-lucky game. Okay, comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it is quite funny in places.
It's a rom-com.
It's a brother and sister.
It does have a sense of humor, but it is also really sort of grimy and grungy in a way that actually sort of reminds me of Disco Elysium in some ways.
Good game.
But I'm not very far into it yet. It only released yesterday. But I've liked what I've played so far. It has some sort of really interesting mechanics I hadn't really seen before, and how it sort of uses its systems. So I'm looking forward to uncovering what else it has, and I definitely recommend people give it a look. It is on Game Pass. It also has a free demo available on Steam. And on Steam, I think it's only about $13 or so. Have a look at it and see if it takes your fancy. The lead developer is actually from Norco. He grew up there. I mean, he basically wanted it. He said he objects to people calling the game dystopian. He doesn't consider that. He just wanted to sort of reflect.
Well, he considers it home.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Johnny, your post.
I grew up in the Bronx, and I consider it dystopian. So, yeah.
Oh, do you? You know, yeah. We had a guy grew up in Detroit, and he was like, "Dude, best town I've ever been to." And I was like, "Wow, that's rough." Johnny,
depends on what street you're on.
True, right? What street you're on. Yeah, for sure. And if the cops will show up at all?
Yes. Well, sometimes you don't want them to, but that's another conversation for another.
That's Narcos, totally different game. So, Johnny, FSR.
Yes, so you've talked in the past about FSR. It's AMD's response to NVIDIA's DLSS in a way, although they're kind of, it's different tech, it operates differently. You've talked about that. There is FSR 2.0, right, coming, and they've said Deathloop and Forspoken will be the first games to have the 2.0 running for PC. So this will be the PC versions.
Mm,
and then additionally, they said that it's headed to Xbox as well. So they confirmed that they are projecting to have this tech in Xbox as well for games on Xbox.
It would be huge on console.
Right. Although they didn't give a timeline or what games will have it or any of that, but they just confirmed that it will come eventually.
Is it deep learning as well, or machine learning at all, or is it just completely different tech?
I'm pretty sure they use machine learning behind the scenes to fix the and make the scaler better, but it's not the same way as DLSS.
To figure out the details, right. You know, like,
does it happen at a hardware level?
No. In fact, okay. So I apologize. That they have two, this is where it gets confusing. They have two versions. They have a hardware version, and then they do have, and are talking about rolling out like a software version. Then they have that super, super resolution thing as well. So AMD does have something that they want that in the future will be in hardware specifics. But by the way, I do want to point this out. Microsoft and AMD have a deal where Microsoft or AMD has to say first on Xbox. It will be on PlayStation. There is no difference there. Admittedly, it could be like VRR or you know, variable refresh, which still hasn't fully come to the PlayStation, but I would completely ignore that. And somebody says no machine learning on FSR 2. It's just algorithms, they say. But what's interesting is it's replacing their version of anti-aliasing with a temporal solution. That bothers me because I like TAA, but it makes everything look so soft. And it's why most games now have a sharpen slider if you turn on TSAA or TAA. So you can like...
Do you prefer FXAA?
Oh, no. No. Okay. That's like a cloud. That's like having glaucoma again. No, it's just that that's what it does. Is it's softens it, and so a lot of times they'll have that slider that goes along with it.
I mean, the sharpness slider is already there for as well on the Steam Deck, for example, with FSR1.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and without it, no.
Yeah, I'm not too. I mean, this is awesome, but I think FSR1 looks terrible in 99% of the games. I was very happy with its implementation in the Chop Suey shooter that I reviewed, Shadow Warrior 3.
Shadow Warrior.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was done very well there. There wasn't a huge, you could zoom in on a pixel and be like, at 7,000 magnification.
Definite downgrade from the trailer.
Yeah. But I'm just excited for this. I love tricks. I love tricks for kids and adults, apparently. Because it's awesome, man. The more they do, the more they can figure out these kind of ways. They did say that it's fast, as in, I think they were saying that it's fast enough that it's faster than TAA. So it's faster in the write for in the milliseconds that it takes inside. It's faster than TAA itself, which that's good. That's good. We want that.
That's the word.
But in terms of, sorry, I was just going to ask, in terms of reducing the workload. Right, because DLSS, they reduce the res, so it just makes it a lot easier to render the game. But like this stuff, can we expect, do you think, for 2.0 something where it's kind of in the ballpark in terms of
It'll be in the ballpark for performance, just like Dying Light 2. Dying Light 2, it's just what they look like.
Yeah, they have a table, and in quality mode, it's 67% rendering resolution, and the rest is then the upscaling.
Wow.
And I will say this. The reason why I say I'm into cheats is because I think, for the most part, that when you look at these kind of things, what you usually see is you usually see something that looks really good for the normal gamer, not the zoom inner. And so
yes.
I'm happy for those kind of things. I do say that, again, FSR, like in Far Cry, looked terrible. I mean, that looked bad. And
Horizon as well.
And Horizon as well. They just didn't get it locked down. So FSR 2, getting the second one, that's awesome. And we can just start to, build up on these kind of things. And to me, I'm really excited for it, man. I mean, I'm excited for Intel's version too. Whatever their... Yeah, Microsoft has got their version. Intel's got XX, right? They have a really like accelerate your...
Plus competition's
XXX.
Always good, and competing to make games perform better and run better on console and PC and stuff is always a good time to be alive, right? Not only just increasing processing power, looking for other alternative ways.
Look at the new TVs, Abzi. Now they're expensive, but the new TVs are using machine learning anti-aliasing chips where they are trained and can be updated over the internet to make your TV do all this, which I actually feel that's your step to 4K and looking native, even though DLSS technically has more data than native, which is nuts, but the way they do it in some of the videos. But
some implementations of DLSS look better than native, which is
great. I think it was Death Stranding, wasn't it?
Death Stranding.
Its first iteration was bad, and then they like put in DLSS 2, and it was I think they still have some trailers. I know Cyberpunk got like some updates, so this is awesome, man. It's awesome.
I always wondered what is this stranglehold that AMD has on the console manufacturers?
Because no one will ever work with Nintendo again except for Nintendo again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Microsoft has stated it openly. Like Microsoft hates...
I mean, even as a regular consumer, I totally can understand.
So, dude, Microsoft, Microsoft is known for, fucking people over. But what's funny is they got so fucked over on the original Xbox that I remember they said behind the scenes, people were like ready to throw hands. They were like, because the original Xbox, NVIDIA basically destroyed that by fucking up the amount that Microsoft had.
I was legit happy that the ARM deal with NVIDIA fell through.
So am I. Like, I like NVIDIA's tech, but as a company, guys, by the way, this is a company that still can't get Xbox or your NVIDIA experience to not be a full screen. Like, these guys, they're programming. You'll get a driver from them sometimes. You'd be like, what in the fuck are these guys thinking? I don't want them touching my consoles.
And also their market dominance, replacing pretty much everywhere where FreeSync, AMD's FreeSync, it's now everyone just labels it G-Sync compatible.
Yeah.
I when I was looking for a video card, because AMD didn't have their act together with this whole DLSS style tech, I went with the 3080.
That's what I
which I'm gonna basically be using for the next 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
But I rarely ever game on PC anyway. I just wish that this fun fact. I actually only got this gaming rig because I was getting these Twitter arguments with the PC Master Race guys, and they always say, my PC or PC is better. And then I'm always like, but is your PC better?
That's the thing. That's like it's just different, right? Everyone has their own kind of PC.
Dude,
like
it's cost of entry.
Cost of entry. And also, like, it's not, you're not getting a standardized thing across the board that makes everything simple, right?
From it.
Like, if you have an issue, you got to dig in. You got to do your shit.
And the issue I had that I told you guys about, it was telling me everything in my PC was telling me it was the video card. Everything. Every error code, everything. And I looked at my video. I looked at my PC. I opened it, which normal people, you wouldn't want to do. I don't want my mom and dad opening a PC. What the fuck? They won't unplug it first. They'll shock themselves. I open it up and I look at this card and I'm like, I bet you that card needs power. Completely separate card, not the video card. I plug it in, never crashes again. And I'm like, you know, there's a cost of entry and a difficulty in dealing with something that people do not take into account when they talk about platforms. So,
yeah, and that's the thing. I know, obviously, I'll get better performance on the PC, and I have a 4K 120 G-Sync monitor, right? It was one of those Asus Predator monitors, right? But I just feel more it is the ease of use. When I was younger, I used to like to work on cars. Now,
I don't have time
for that.
Yep.
Right? Yep. So, when I do get those moments where I want a game, I just want to sit on a couch, eat some Doritos, drink my Mountain Dew, and enjoy the game. I don't want to hear about drivers and all of this other stuff.
You know what, though? Okay, I agree. I do want to play devil's advocate in one way. I'll be Johnny this podcast.
All right, Johnny.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking, Johnny. But there is one devil's advocate to this, and that's that even I am noticing that console games are starting to arrive in some shit shape. So in old days, I used to say, dude, if you want to do mods, PC, it's guaranteed. But if you just want to turn on a system and not have to worry about doing this or doing that. But I'm telling you guys, PS5 in particular has been a nightmare. Remember when it was like it was rebooting my PS5 and redoing the hard drive every time? That's an official product from somebody.
Yeah, that's the tat, right? Like you got an issue, you can't do shit about it. You just have to live with it.
Well, that's the difference. Like, PC... Yeah. More expensive, and you can configure it, which is also bad, but you can also dive in. Console, you can't dive in, but it should do things. It should just run, and we're starting to see these games that's not what's
because
happening.
Because they're increasingly becoming PCs.
And that's why a lot of people get mad at me. They'll be like, you rated this game a weight, and I'm like, yeah, the console crashed. I'm sorry. There's few things in the world that is more reprehensible than a console crashing. That's one specific hardware that the developer, they should have worked and figured out how to get that to work, and they didn't. And I think we're running into that a lot more now on consoles. It feels like Dying Light.
Yeah, I mean, once they made the cut over to x86 for these chips, like that's it. The
power PC was gone.
The proverbial pool.
Yeah. I remember, though, those custom for the consoles were awesome. They had PowerPC. They had weird shit on the 360. The PS3 had cell technology and all that shit. It was so great. But at the same time, ports are much easier now, which is nice. You know, Well, it's nice if the port's good. Well, that brings me to the point. Performance versus quality. So I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the performance mode on Tiny Tina is like 1p resolution. It's
getting well, the game isn't raw. Really well optimized. Like when I played it, it wasn't well optimized at all.
But my question is we're starting to see these performance ones and we're starting to see weird things. We saw it with Ratchet and Clank. They did a 40 FPS, right, Reg? Didn't they do a 40 FPS with ray tracing?
40, 50, I don't know, something off. Yeah.
And Sony, of course, Spider-Man, they know their shit, right? Insomniac are pretty much God level. Like, if they say something's going to hit an FPS, there's a very good chance Insomniac will hit that FPS. But what's been bothering me lately is, as gamers, we always say, I would love to have a performance mode. But we're starting to get them where they're not even close to locked or capped at 60. And that's another thing. You'll see somebody say, this is locked at 60. What they really mean is it's capped at 60. That it can go up and down, which is what we're starting to see a lot of times for these performance modes. And we're starting to see a lot of low 60 resolution.
60 target, right?
60
yeah,
target.
I'm seeing a lot. It's just adaptive resolution.
And it's starting to look like
prefer
shit.
Right, prefer performance, prefer quality instead of...
Oh, that's another thing. Up. Prefer, so they don't get in trouble. Would you prefer a higher resolution? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, okay, sometimes, bye. And you're just like, well, fuck, man. Because you can't lock it in.
So they said the 40 FPS mode, which makes sense, I guess, is for 120 hertz screens.
Gotcha. So it gets the division right.
Oh.
But yeah, quality versus performance modes, I love it. I got to see this in Ghostwire Tokyo, though. Guys, this thing has so many options in a console. It's like, you can fucking play performance with this, performance with that, uncapped V-Sync. You know, they were obviously thinking of people with monitors like Microsoft had, which is weird because it's Ghostwire's on the PlayStation. That's what I played it on. And they don't do variable refresh. But only three choices in that entire series of options is doable. Even close to doable. The others are shit. Just dog shit FPS. I mean, jerky, micro stutters, all kinds of shit that goes on.
And what happened to 4K 60? Like 4K 60 this, 4K 60 that.
You can't hit 4K 60 on a console, man. You can't hit it on... I have a 3080 and I can't hit it on some games.
But they even on the box, I think, of the PS5, doesn't it say 4K 120 FPS?
So does Xbox. I don't know.
Xbox says 8K.
It says 8K. Oh, true, because it outputs... It can output...
I mean, but come on. The Steam Deck says it can output 8K.
Anything can output... That's true. Fuck! I don't get it why people don't get that. You can. It's just going to be at one FPS or a half a FPS. Like that's so ridiculously, it makes gamers look so fucking stupid.
It's the biggest marketing scam when they say like capable. They just add the word capable. They say 8K capable,
up to.
Meaning it could potentially.
Like, you can maybe view the UI potentially in that resolution.
And, or look at Xbox. Yeah. They didn't even have their OS at 4K, remember? Their Xbox Series S and X were at 1080p, I think, upscaled, and it looked pretty shitty for a long time.
Here's another question, and I know we got it in at least quarter-res reflections in some of the Insomniac games, but... It on the current hardware, and I'm talking about PS5, Series X, forget about Series S for a second. Is it, because I know we were sold a bill of goods on this ray tracing thing on console, right? Yeah. In what world are we going to see like real like ray trace reflections, not just shadows or not just quarter res reflections? Real, because they're saying these consoles have special ray tracing cores and all that stuff. Are we actually going to do it? And if we are, is it ever going to be worth the performance hit that we would take to get like real?
Well, now with FSR, you don't know, right? It might change things, but I don't think. I mean, ray tracing is a huge dip in.
I mean, Insomniac, in right? Wouldn't you guys agree? They're the only ones who have nailed.
We have to bring that up.
You got to bring it up.
They
nailed it. And one of the issues is that we don't talk about settings. So you can do full ray tracing if you have like less geometry and you have less. You know
what else we don't talk about? Bruno. For everyone that has kids out there, It's a Encanto joke. Sorry. Oh, I have kids. I apologize.
Oh,
go ahead.
Wally One says, the problem is casuals don't know and don't care if 4K 60 FPS is a lie. Exactly. But guess what? You're on a podcast where we do care and you care. So we know, though. We know. That's what casuals don't care. They don't, because Tom Cruise had to do a video where he came out and talked about interpolation on HD TVs like it was an alien attack. I don't know if you guys saw that. But like him
I
and
did,
another,
and I appreciate that he came out.
I did
doing
too,
that.
But that shows you.
Like I hate, like every TV makes your stuff look like it's a soap opera.
Yeah, it looks like dog shit
because they wanted to sell us a feature.
Yeah.
It's just like, remember when they were forcing us to buy like 3D TVs for decade just because Avatar came out?
Oh, yep. Yeah. And they're gone. Sony had their dual screen 3D TV where one person sitting on one side.
Hey,
so
that was
like,
cool.
It was pretty cool. Cool tech. But it's for shit because 3D, it just doesn't work in that.
They get it in the chat, the Bruno joke. I feel better.
Yeah, somebody in chat did get that. But I don't know, man. I just feel like I'm okay with people selling. HDMI just had this too, where HDMI is like, fuck it. We're going to call everything HDMI 2.1, even though it doesn't support 2.1. And you're like, what? What? That makes no sense. But
was it 2.0a or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, USB is less confusing now than HDMI, which should never have happened. But yeah, we're just getting a lot of these weird things. Look at how many TVs guys will say 4K 120 and it's only for one HDMI slot and it's only at like 500 ms. I have a TV that's like that, by the way. If it's
don't forget, it could be 4K or 120, because some of the TVs are doing that as well. Because you gotta drop down.
Yeah.
And if you want to play in 4K, it's gonna bring it back down to 60 hertz.
And then you get input lag, right?
It could be 120, but with 60 input, and it upscales.
I feel sleeve got the
TV,
bad input.
My TV has like 4K, but if I'm in 4K mode or whatever the fuck, the input lag is just ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, I can be. And by the way, ridiculous. Like we're talking 150 milliseconds. Like that's you can get a drink and shit. Like know, do you know how I test? And I'm telling everybody this is a trick for me testing if a game will work on gamepad, playing on the PC or whatever. I'll grab it and I'll flick it as fast as possible. And if I can hear the thing click before I see the screen move, the latency is not going to work for me. And that, I'm telling everybody, that's a really you don't have to worry about specs or whatever. Like that works very well as a test. So if you're doing a first person shooter and you flick as fast as possible, and if you hear it click on the edge of the controller before that screen moves, you're probably going to have an issue with, and almost all TVs don't. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All these people watching, speaking of clicking things, why does using the new Xbox controller sound like you're watching a movie with Gregory Hines?
You mean tap dancing?
Yeah.
By the way,
what the hell?
Dude, I watched every movie that guy was ever in. I just want to shout out.
Yes.
I don't know. I know Reg got the fucking Elite and gave it back because it sounded like it was breaking in his hands.
I got the Elite.
Like,
that's the worst controller I ever touched.
Let me tell you guys a story, right? So I have my Series X and my PlayStation in the living room. And like I said, being, adulting, whatever, I can only play when everybody's asleep. So I'd be in the living room playing games at night. My wife is like, I'm waking up in the middle of the night and you're not there. Why are you playing video games? Play it in the bedroom, right? So I buy another Xbox and PlayStation and put it in the bedroom.
I know where this is going.
So now I'm playing while she goes to sleep.
Clickety.
And then the clicking of the goddamn controller, she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Get out.
Yep.
Go back to the living room.
That's what my wife does.
This is $1,000 later.
Yeah.
Buying another PlayStation and Xbox for the bedroom.
Poth Super Chat, what's up, buddy? Do you think Unreal 5 will solve CD Projekt Red's issues? The gameplay in CD Projekt Red is mediocre. Do you think their gameplay is bland? First answer, who knows? Second, don't you think their gameplay is bland? Yeah, for Cyberpunk, I do. Unreal is going to help them though, because it is just a newer tech that's built. They don't have to worry about anymore. And a lot of developers I talk to, it's a great engine, and it does stuff now that's so advanced that even porting is going to be faster to your other systems.
But I don't think it would magically make It won't magically make their combat the good.
Yeah.
Well,
but if you also hear how many people have left the company, for example, using an established engine like that for sure makes it easier to find new people to hire to onboard.
Here's another side of the Unreal argument, right? Are we at all concerned about the industry sort of homogenizing around one engine and every game looking, and I know there's a million things you can do, I understand that, but I'm just saying the way things are rendered, the things that they're doing with the open world, is there sort of a risk that we run with everyone using the same tech? Because I, for one, we can even talk about browsers, right? Like Internet Explorer, hot garbage, it should be taken into the back and shot, and it won't die because it's a zombie. But at least they were adhering to web standards or whatever at the time. And now that everyone is using Chromium, every major browser is using Chromium, isn't that like, should we be worried that everybody's using the same thing? Everybody's, the whole industry is going to move towards the same engine. Everybody's using the same browser. It worries me, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think Unity has its lovers. We got the Vermintide guys on. They're using an engine they actually bought from Adobe. And it's completely different. I think he said he was they're the only ones using it. And Vermintide 2 looked great. I thought it looked amazing. So there's smaller ones out there, but I would say that, there's definitely an issue with, I mean, you don't want everybody using the same tech, but there is.
You don't want to monopolize anything, basically.
Dude, I think it's so complex now, though, that like a lot of times people are like, let me change the art style. Let me change the feel and everything so that my game is different, but I'm still going to use Unreal because I can hire Joe Bob who knows Unreal.
Yeah.
Or
that's
Unity,
a big deal.
But is it? Yeah, I mean, you guys have it obviously more than I do. But you guys know if like whatever database software.
Yeah, like if you're using something standardized that other people may know, you don't have to train
reduce
people.
Reduce onboarding, right?
Yeah. And I get it. I think that the one nice thing about Unity right now, or about Unreal right now, is that we haven't, Tencent hasn't done something crazy with it. Like for example, is it always going to be free? And I think it is free for like indies, but companies they still charge. Is that right, Reg?
I think when
there's a
tier, like a threshold,
a yearly threshold limit.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Escape from Tarkov uses Unity, and it's crazy to me because whenever you think Unity games, you think of these small indies or 2D games, but Tarkov, which is a big, multiplayer, very realistic shooter, uses fucking Unity.
Doesn't Crytek Hunt use Crytek? Hunt Showdown?
Yeah, it's by them, actually.
But I will say this. For every Ubisoft who likes their blah, blah, blahs, you also have Frostbite from EA, who they forced onto everybody. And it was a disaster to the point to where people internally were like, I want to leave the company. I never want to work on this graphics engine again, or this gameplay engine again. So to them, Unreal makes even more sense if people are like, hey, I know this, I can do it. I don't think anybody.
Okay, so Unreal seems to be 5% royalty after you made more than 1 million revenue on the product.
They're doing a revenue share, basically? 5%? They want 5% as you go above 1 million.
After the first million.
Yeah.
I'm not going to immediately if you
sell on their store.
Wait, what happens if you don't sell on their store? They take a higher cut?
No, they take the 5%. They take 0% if you sell on their
store. Because, do they? Okay. Oh, yeah. Shit. That's smart. That bad. I hate it. But that's smart to say 0%. Because guys who get above 1 million are probably going even farther because those big budget games. So they're like, let's just do no wonder some companies do just Unreal. That's fucking insane. I didn't know.
No, man. I want to put out the Everborn game, and as soon as we hit 999,000, cutting off sales.
Well, and we do, something about that Everborn, we do see Microsoft
Store.
I'll
make the rest up in interest.
Microsoft Store is starting to release their games on Steam, thank God, because sometimes you can't even get the game off the store, which is fucking weird. But we that competition has helped us see Microsoft move stuff to Steam. So I definitely like the competition of at least two or three engines. That way we don't get the thing where there's the, as somebody says in here, Epic Store incentives. I don't know, man. It's, I mean, I do like, I don't know. I'm sort of in love with Unreal right now, so it's hard to, you know, I hate the companies.
Oh man, you're drinking the Kool-Aid,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, it's like it's hard. And then when I like a game, I don't feel this anymore, but I used to feel bad by putting my creator code in because I knew somebody'd be like, oh, he's the only reason you gave it a good review. And I'm like, fuck that. Now I'm just going to start putting it in there. But
next up, Carrick, exclusive on the Epic Store.
Videos. But we are seeing that a lot of times. It's a good question. Like, do we want, I mean, the thing is, guys, man, it takes a long time to make an engine, too. It seems like that must be the hardest thing because
and
a lot of companies.
There's also the fact, that we don't want to reinvent the wheel over and over, right? So this is a big thing in software engineering. Like, we've figured out how to make a great looking forest, like you were saying, in 30 minutes. And this engine does it really well. So if that's what you want to do with a game, you know, it makes sense to just take advantage of that instead of having to.
I think it's awesome that we've got it. I do think Unreal also pushes audio better. And that's, as an audio guy, like, that's one thing I've noticed in some games lately with really good, you know, surround sound, really good, like, really high sample rates that don't get bogged down and, you know, end up being delayed and all that stuff. Like, the Borderlands guys were talking about making, when they were making Borderlands 3, having issues with sound samples having to be pushed around until they tricked it. I do like that. But then somebody just mentioned this. You guys are reading my mind. Then you have Bethesda. If there's any company that I would love for them to leave, or I would love for Bethesda, I would love, if there's any company I would love to use Unreal, it'd be Bethesda.
Are they still using that fucking shit?
Gambrio version 7000.
They will never, ever
for Starfield?
Yeah, they are.
What Creation Engine we're talking about?
Yeah, Creation. And admittedly, guys, I'm not going to lie. Most interactive world ever. Like, you can pick up every single thing, which, talking to people who are explaining that, they're like, only some engines allow that before they just fall the fuck apart. But we're at, we're at Gambrio 10 or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they all have a Gambrio feel. Have you guys know? It's like Ubisoft. Yes, yeah. You play Division, and then you play another game, and you're like, there's something. There's something. Like, I know.
There's a taste to the NPCs. You look at their faces and you go,
I mean, motherfucker. Fucking Bethesda had bugs in like
Skyrim version 1 that have
Fallout
not got
76.
Fixed.
No, and Fallout 76 that were available in fucking Morrowind and shit, you know? And it's insane. But hopefully that they fix that in Starfield.
Do we have anything else before we wrap this up?
Listen, can I run a quick. Sorry, go on first.
No, okay. I do have one like story. I kind of that's been annoying me. That's been going around the last couple of weeks a bit. Don't know if you guys heard, but there's been this story going around about From Software and working conditions at the studio.
I haven't heard
that it was like supposedly there was crunch and stuff. The problem there is, like, I looked at these stories that got parroted around from, like, tweets and stuff. Oh. I had a lot of them cited, like, a Japanese site that's basically sort of a Japanese glass door sort of site for rating your place of work, where From Software rated fairly low. So none of the news media organizations that ran the story actually cited the source or like linked to the source. And I finally managed to dig it up, and I went and looked at the From Software section through Google Translate because it's in Japanese. What struck me was that the majority of the postings on that site were from like 2011, 2012, and 2013. Like from employees who left the company back then and weren't very happy with the company back then.
Right.
And I don't have to tell you, like, I think most people know enough math that to know that, like, that's a while ago. Not only is that a while ago, but like From Software, even back then, was under different ownership. Like, they got new ownership in 2014 when they were bought by like a a large Japanese publisher of mangas and stuff, I think. So they're under different ownership, have seen a lot more success since then and stuff. So all of these sort of news organizations that just ran with the story that like there's Crunch and unhappy people and stuff from software, they're going by, from what I can tell, in terms of just looking at, I looked it up, from but they're going by data that looks to be nearly 10 years old, which I mean, it's something that happens a lot, I think, in journalism, where you have somebody who breaks a story and then everyone just runs with that story without really checking up on it. You see it sometimes with Reuters and Associated Press, where sometimes their stories aren't quite up to snuff, but because everyone just buys lead-ins from Reuters and Associated Press, it just gets sort of divided everywhere. And it's unfortunate, but I think it is a lesson that people need to sort of be critical of these stories that float around without proper sourcing.
Yeah. And proper time. I mean, when Johnny first started in the Discord, because Johnny was learning English, and him and I would have these weird, like, I don't know what you'd call them, like, arguments. If somebody asked me at that point if he was, like, easy to talk to or whatever, I'd be like, no, it's very fucking difficult to talk to. And I couldn't figure out 80% of what he was
blossomed.
Saying. No. Number one, I figured out some of it was me, but some of it was just learning English. And the reason why I bring this up is because I've joked about it with Johnny before. It's like it took a while. If somebody had asked me then versus now, it's not even the same thing. The data has to be current. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And I've also had people that I really liked, you know, and got along with, and then that falls apart. And I'll tell you what, if you ever get called for a reference on somebody you don't like anymore, it's a very unique situation when they're like, hey, so this person put me as a reference, and you're all, that motherfucker did? You know, and you're like, well, can't say that. Sorry. Sorry, somebody was going to interrupt. What were you going to say, Silver? Were you going to say something?
No, I wasn't. No, I think it was Johnny.
Yeah. No, I was saying another thing here is that people actually have to read these articles. A lot of the times there are people that are reading headlines or the first paragraph and just deciding they know everything that's in it and making up their minds. And then the hive mind takes over and everyone has to follow along. And how dare you not be as incensed and outraged as I am? So, you know, sourcing is part of it, yes, but I think that we as the consumers of this information, you know, like the people writing the articles should source them, but we as the consumers of this information should also do our own vetting and actually read these things instead of just
I think if you read an article and actually dig in, you're more informed than like 90% of the people online.
Right. That just read the headlines.
I mean, right. Listen, and I want you guys to try this. 9 times out of 10, if you read like an article which is SEO optimized, if there's a question in that article, the answer is going to be no to that question. Try it out. It's like adding embed to the end of fortune cookies. So
the question marks. Will they do this?
The answer is always no. But go ahead.
I mean, sorry. The thing I immediately noticed is that the alarm bell off for me was because this is also what I see when like something goes wrong with like an AP story or Reuters story, is that other outlets will basically just take the article from whoever breaks the story and just copy paste it basically. And then that's just the story that runs perpetually throughout all of the other outlets without any sort of critical sourcing or investigation at all. It's just whoever breaks the story gets to run the story, and the story then runs. And in this case, I think it was The Gamer, an outlet called The Gamer, that originally ran the story. And then it sort of started catching fire with other outlets who then started running the story. And they basically all just ran the text from The Gamer's story, which was fairly short, only a couple couple of paragraphs, really. And it was only really like From Software rates lowly on this sort of employee side.
And it was referencing Crunch from like 10 years ago. It's crazy.
Yeah. Among other things. Yeah. Like I said, it's something that happens not just in gaming, but it's been a pet peeve of mine for decades, because these news, like it happens a lot with these news agencies, avoid us, and because it's easy for news media outlets to just buy that story from Reuters or AP and then just run it in their own like print newspaper or whatever, so that they don't actually have to do any investigative reporting on their own, but they can seem to be doing investigative reporting by just running Reuters or AP stories.
True that. Anybody else have anything? Before we wrap it up,
can I run a quick thought experiment by you like last week? This will be quick, and I think I know your answer. This is a spin on the classic trolley problem. This is where we have a train, right? So the train is on rails, and there is a group of five people on the rails that are going to be run over by this train, right? They're tied, they can't get away. And you happen to be on a bridge on top of this rail with Todd Howard, right? Who is, of course, about to tell you about his new Skyrim edition that he's releasing very soon. And you have the choice of just hanging out, right, and listening to his pitch, or push him so that he falls on the track and stops the train before hitting the group of five people.
Sure, that would exactly effectively work that way.
Sacrificing Todd Howard and his Skyrim vision.
And push him and then get inside and make the train go faster.
I would do it just not to avoid listening to his pitch.
Like, you can go anywhere.
Without the five people, just.
Yeah. You can go anywhere. That is a weird ass.
When you started this, I didn't understand where you were going with it, but I'm glad we've arrived where we were.
Are you on board with tossing Todd, or
are you going to toss Todd? I'll let the five people die. I don't know them.
Right. Well, okay. Are the people's lives on the bullet train in danger at all?
No, the people on the train are fine. It's the five people on the track that will die 100% unless.
Who are those five people, and do I like them?
You don't know. You have no information.
Interesting.
You know what you do?
This is not Facebook.
This, what always works for me in any kind of thought experiment is to always go with, if I know somebody and I don't know the others, I always side with just killing the others. It's just like, whatever.
Yeah, they're faces.
Do you know Todd, though?
I mean, I know of him.
I mean, you have to listen to him.
It's not a zero-sum game.
The others made me think of Lost.
I've solved it. I figured it out, people.
Yeah.
He would have to show me. I don't care about Skyrim. Todd, I say you're a dead man unless you show me actual gameplay of Starfield. You do that, or
wow. You have this man, isn't he? You got this man in the palm of your hand, his life. You're threatening his life for a little bit of gameplay. See, this is what is wrong with the game industry.
Yeah. Right? No, but here's the thing.
And somebody's going to snip him saying that and say that's the entire podcast. Was people said they were going to kill Todd Howard.
But like, here's the thing. Todd would probably jump on the tracks. He'd be like, no, I'm not showing you.
That's true that. Or he'd try to save somebody, because works, we always give Todd a bad... As a joke, we give him a bad rap.
Yeah,
but he's apparently just awesome. And I'm sure he is, but we always give him a bad rap. That is the weirdest fucking thought experiment, because it's so deep, I couldn't even think all the way to the end. I just assumed Homicide was always the best. Like, if you can bet on anything, bet on Homicide. That's what I always say. And it's worked out many times, because you can bury the bodies. Speaking
He'll
of...
He'll be standing in the middle of the tracks. He'll be like, it just works.
So, Everborn. One last time, where can they find you? Twitter, your website, I'm going to post as well. And if you have anything upcoming in the next couple weeks, announcements or whatever, feel free.
Yes. Okay. So bear with me a second. So the good news is, I'm very trying to get my SEO in order. So you can literally type in any Everborn Saga anywhere and you'll find me. That's Everborn Saga on YouTube.
True.
Where
that.
We do our On the Real show every week. We talk about like TV and movie stuff, which we're actually going to do this Saturday. And we're talking about the Halo TV series and why you're wrong if you think the Chief shouldn't take off his helmet, and Emo Batman. So check that out. But normally on Saturdays, I do the Gaming Circle podcast with my brother from another mother, Mr. K. Asante. I do another show on Mondays on Mr. Boomstick XL's channel.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Primetime Gaming. K. Asante is also there. I do another show with Xbox University, which we may be doing later today or tomorrow. I'm not sure. We'll figure that out. But Xbox, PlayStation, Steam, Oculus, I will never call it Meta, all Everborn Saga, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, all Everborn Saga. And I'm most active on Twitter. I try to follow everyone who follows me back. But most importantly, EverbornSaga.com, where you can get all of these fine books. And we also have, you see that wall art back there? You can get wall art like that, framed and everything from the website. We've got t-shirts, we've got other merch stuff, but this is where the action is. You can get these books at everbornsaga.com. So thank you so much for having me on. And I will see all of you guys in the Twitter streets. And tomorrow, if you are not a fan of the new Batman, you might want to tune in to hear some hot takes.
Yeah, that nice. One's that is definitely. Oh, hey, I think somebody's already complaining about the Batman emo joke. Anybody else have anything going on? Johnny, what are you streaming tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow I'm streaming the final main mission of Horizon Forbidden West.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it?
That was it. Well, and more
it
stuff, right?
Like,
yeah. Well,
that's it. He's well, like...
Well, the thing is... yeah, I'm trying to keep it... That's the
spoiler-free.
Main... Well, we'll do other stuff. There's cauldrons and other stuff in the game.
Oh,
that we'll
okay.
Do, but that's kind of the big thing that I'm aiming for tomorrow.
Excellent.
At 2 p.m. GMT time.
Abbreviated reviews, $3.21.
Super video games.
That fucker always,
always has
the
has
weirdest
the...
video games. Video games. I do want to say thanks to everybody who showed up. Thanks to Everborn Saga for having patience and waiting a little while to come on. It's been a pleasure. You're invited anytime to come back, talk about games with us, talk about shows, because normally we do, but we've gone long. But normally we like love breaking down shows, talking about food.
I'll invite you to GCP one of these days.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're free on a Saturday.
And thanks to everybody who showed up. Thanks for the super chats. If you guys get a chance, check out everybody's stuff here. And that'll be it for us. Peace out. This video will go up later today as well. So that's it for me. Peace out, everybody.